Welcome to Dark Guidance. I'm Chris.
I'm Brian.
And today, well, to round it out, we have a bit of a special guest, a proponent, some might say a prophet of a certain kind of model exists in the game, Matt Hickling. Welcome.
G'day. Good to talk to everyone.
Now, Matt, there is a certain model that you particularly like, is there not? A devious, disgusting model that I have a well-known documented hate for.
Look, there's a wonderful model
that
has been wonderful for some time, and you have been very misguided in your dislike of this model, and I quite frankly find your lack of faith disturbing.
That's fair.
And that model is, of course,
the fun carriage.
Yeah. So, in honor of getting Matt on, and because we were shit-talking about this for a goddamn, like, 5 months or so, we're just going to do a K-Dorsode. No one else is here to stop us, and to be perfectly honest, it saves me from having to do, like, a 30-minute talk about Netrunner before one of the co-hosts here shoots me in the head with something in this household.
I'd be surprised if they let you get to 30 minutes, to be honest.
You're probably
very good at talking.
That is an understatement, Chris.
Yes. So, the last time we did one of these, we did it for a garbage faction called Crix, where we had to convince people that Crix was actually worth taking. This time we're going to talk about, of course, the good guys, which is Kador. And no one needs convincing that they're good, because, like, I think Kador is now the new Crix of MK3, is how a lot of people see it.
Maybe Signar.
Yeah, and Signar. Like, Signar's more like the new Legion, right?
Oh, Jesus, everyone's everything.
What? Yeah. Well, I mean, Legion's a new Legion now, I guess, so...
I'm still happy to say Trolls is the same Trolls.
Yeah, that's true.
I know, Trolls had a moment in the sun. I think they've...
No, they did, but this is, like, beginning of Mark 2 Trolls in Mark 3.
Yeah, I'll pay that.
Yeah, they were definitely good towards the end of Mark 2.
Yes, they did.
Like, I played them, and they were strong. They were...
Yeah,
they've lost it a little bit, but let's not talk about Trolls.
Let's not talk about depressing subjects, right? And let's go into Kador. So last time we pretty much did a run-through of themes and, like, casters of this faction, of, like, Crix. I figure, realistically, we should just talk about the casters, because a lot of the themes come into... A lot of the casters seem to have a ideal theme they're sort of scared for, or not. Like, I guess one thing to really point out is, yes, theme forces are ruining the game and blah, 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 and you can't compete with free points. But with Kador, that's actually not entirely true. Honestly, because the Jacks are, like, so undercosted, it's not funny. And some of the infantry is just like,
It's less for the free points in Kador and more for the weird abilities that you are granted instead.
Correct.
Like, yeah. Well, there's also some good support models that... Like, I mean, for example, the Forge Seer that I struggle to find 4 points for, but I'm happy to pay no points for.
Exactly. Yes. Or the Artillerist Captain, or any of the Mortar crews.
Yeah, or, like, Iron Fang. Anything in the Iron Fang theme, right? Like, I wouldn't pay 4 points for an Iron Fang Kovnik, but I would pay 0 points for an Iron Fang Kovnik with Countercharge, with a whole shit ton of other dudes backing him up. So that's sort of how it works. Like, realistically, we've got the OTC coming up in about a week as of this recording, and honestly, a lot of the Kador theme forces don't actually have that much crazy free points. Not like Legion, for instance, which is like 20 plus sometimes. And you're like, well, all right, or the fucking Rhett one that's going to come out, which has a free Pain Knight. Yeah, good God. But instead it's a case of, oh yeah, but on the other hand, like, your cheap underpriced Winter Guard now also double as, like, extra lives for your Warcaster on demand, so how do you feel about that?
Oh, I felt a lot better about it when the Fun Carriage is also extra lives for your caster.
I miss those days.
That was an interesting CanCon, right? Like, I was down in the dumps, right? And I had to do some questionable things, but thankfully Privateer Press saw through my plight and they nerfed the Fun Carriage and stopped that from happening.
There was no better moment at CanCon than the last round of the IG finals where you tried to kill Ed's caster with every single model in your army and the crowd around you just growingly got more and more excited as only the Fun Carriage was left and you had to finish it with the Fun Carriage.
I got diced that day, and that day I truly lost War Machine. There was some CID for now, the Ram Carriage, as it's probably being called. We'll talk about that later. For now, let's talk about a less depressing topic, or a less random. Let's talk about Strakov. Sorry, what was that? You made a...
No, no, you just need to talk into your mic more, but maybe that's just me.
Oh, fine. All right, here we go. Well, Strakov, but because we're going in War Room order, like, if it's first things first, War Room order makes literally no sense.
Well, it's alphabetical.
It's alphabetical, but given
that
how
makes
many...
makes perfect sense.
I mean, given how many commanders there are, like, we're just going to jump around like crazy. So if you're expecting us to talk about Strakov 1 and Strakov 2, you're shit out of luck.
Because we're lazy.
Yes. Anyway, Strakov 2, Assault Commander Strakov. He has a Tommy gun that basically he ripped off of a hunter, and for a caster who...
With like six less range?
Yeah, something like that. I'll put it this way. When Strakov 2 was first announced and spoiled, and this was roughly the same time Old Witch was announced and spoiled, Old Witch 2, that is, for Grimkin, gut feeling with everyone was like, oh yeah, he's going to be shit. He's going to be like Kane 3 or something. He's just not going to be that great, right? His little stupid commandos with him are just going to be crap, blah, blah, blah. He's not going to do anything cool. Happy to be proven wrong.
Yeah, he's pretty interesting.
Hmm. I'm still
trying to figure out Last Stand in a faction with multiple good casters with Battlelust. I mean, I understand it on, like, the Pikeman with the CMA, so you only lose the one guy, but it just seems a strange choice for the faction. I've had trouble building lists for him around then because I have a very well documented dislike of all things Pikeman.
Yeah, that's fair. To be honest, right, I've done my time in Pikeman jail. I'm quite happy to not play Pikeman anymore.
Mm.
That said, I would agree. Last Stand is kind of awkward, but it is the damage fixer you get, and
it also has a hit buff, which is something that a Battlelust doesn't do.
That's correct. And at the end of the day, your opponent actually probably is more afraid of the threat of Last Stand than you actually Last Standing and killing something with is, because...
Yeah, that's fair.
If you life's like, ooh, don't come here or else my Mat 10 Pikeman, like my Mat 10 Great Bears will fuck you up with Last Stand, you're like, oh shit, I better not do that.
I'd make that trade.
Yeah, but then when you think about it, you're like, I lost a game to Colin literally because I Last Standed and killed his Death Jack with my Great Bears, meaning that was three less models that didn't countercharge him the next turn. And you're like, well, fuck, all right.
I mean, I could find a place for it on something like a Marauder going into a Colossal or something that could be quite interesting, but it depends if you want to trade out a Jack for something like that.
Yeah, actually, the other big thing for him is I find... because his speed buff is Quicken, which is also an upkeep, you can't Last Stand and Quicken at the same time. It's not like, say, if he had Boundless Charge, for instance, he'd much more be able to make that play happen, and he could also do it with, like, any of the garbage jacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing, like, oh, you can take a Mad Dog and throw it in. But when you think about it, if you take a Mad Dog and you have to use the... well, what is it? The, you have to pay a focus to make it go faster. Well... you have to pay one to charge and one to speed it up, so even if you fully fuel it, you're going in with one extra attack? That's garbage. That said, though, like, good God, he has the best feat name ever. It's so many memes have spawned from this feat.
Mission Critical.
It's up there with Rolling Thunder.
Yeah, that's true. Alright, I played a fair bit of him, so I'll go last. Have you guys played Strakov in any capacity?
No.
Cool. Okay, well, it's fine.
Sadly, I have also not, because he came out around the time of the Grimkin, and I was too busy doing that. But he does look very interesting, and I've made, like, a couple lists where I was looking at him. But yeah, Last Stand has been a bit of a question, like, as a puzzle for me.
Mm.
But I feel like he can be taken in a lot of different lists. Like, I looked at him in Iron Fangs, obviously, because that seemed like a very obvious fit. Where his Last Stand could be circumvented slightly with CMAs.
Yep.
Inviolable Resolve is just kind of gross. Yes. Quicken on them is also kind of gross.
Quicken is actually significantly more gross than Inviolable Resolve. Because at the end of the day, there are some things that get
His feat's also gross. Like, he just kind of makes that list gross.
Yeah, but there's some things that will just get around single wound infantry, like...
of course, Widowmakers.
Widowmakers, Frightmares, since we're mentioning Grimkin, Deathstalkers, random other models that like that. Nothing gets around quickened, like, quickened pikemen really change the dynamic, especially because they're also, like, the unit you usually quicken is the advanced moving one, so they go up 14, which is quite a long ways to start with, in Shield Wall, and then After that, they just hammer into someone, and then if you take the regular unit, you can bounce them. If you don't take the regular unit, you can still, like, feed on them, and they're black dragons, so they're pretty good for that.
Yeah. I would have liked him better with the Mark II Kovnik, just for that shield march along with it. I think that would have been really good combo.
Can we all pay a moment of respects for the Iron Fang Kovnik of Mark II? Rest in peace. You did your country proud.
Has anyone put one on the table in Mark III?
I have, because you get them for free, and... Like, they're a completely different model.
And they're good with countercharge.
Countercharge actually, like, it's countercharge and precision strike. It actually makes it, because there's so much precision strike in that list, and the way it interacts with countercharge is pretty gross.
Sorry, did you like that spirit? Because I didn't.
Well, yeah, it's just like, oh, that's a nice jack you're going in. Let me just rip the arm off. And the thing is, you roll the damage.
Why not the cortex?
Well, the thing is, you roll the damage, then pick the column. And usually it takes less damage to rip an arm off. So you're like,
that's fair. Especially on a Crix jack.
Yeah, exactly. Rip Seethers. Anyway, Strakov 2, good guy. General theme is, like, to be honest, he can run in any of the themes.
Well, exactly. I mean, he's also good in the...
He's good in the Jaws theme, surprisingly.
Yeah, well, Quicken's not bad. Last Stand on Cheap Jacks is not terrible.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even in the Winter Guard, where, like, he's just like, okay, Quicken these guys, Enviable Resolve these guys, my feat turn makes them gross.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, he's just like, okay, so this turn I need someone to make, like, a POW 12 Weapon Master attack at, yes. like,
he
boosted
can
attack rolls.
Use Bear Strength, which is actually a... Like,
he makes them really versatile.
Yeah.
And it also means that he doesn't need to use Stealth. For his mini feet.
I should get into that. So, having played him a bunch, he doesn't die. Like, the only time he dies is if you A, let him die, or B, you have to offering up on a planet, or C, you've last standard Strakov, and you've come up a little short.
Like, reposition, like, just seems like a way better option than...
Stealth, generally speaking, yes. Repo 5 is...
But, I mean, when you have a bunch of... Like, when he's basically invincible, surrounded by Winter Guard, like, why not just... reposition the fuck out of everyone.
Well, it's one of the reasons his gun's actually range 8 is because he kind of dances. Like, he'll walk up, shoot into, like, point blank range,
and
shoot them in the
away.
Face.
It's technically a range 13 gun with.
Yeah.
From where he starts and where he ends.
Pretty much. So, a lot of times you'll have this guy trolling around a zone and then he'll just, like, show up and go, like, fuck off. And he'll put 3 gunshots into it. Actually, one of the reasons I found him really good in Iron Fang theme is because you can knock out a lot of movement. With that theme, or knock people down randomly, and then you just shoot them in the face, and it's pretty good.
Actually, just going back to what you were talking about with themes before, I just thinking about Jaws.
Yeah,
getting Kiazzi to threat 11.5 on a charge is
so gross,
so good because generally they're not getting that alpha, but being able to out threat even just by that little bit, the speed 6 2-inch reach, you know, infantry model is just amazing. So,
oh yeah. No, it's also one of the reasons I like I said Quicken on Iron Fangs is so much better is because, like, range 11 is good. Range 13, though, holy shit. But even then, like, you're absolutely right with the way it sort of works out.
He himself can also do, like, quite a bit of work.
Oh,
like, he has an armor-piercing gun.
Yeah.
He has Grievous Wounds, Combo Strike, Red Tide, so he just overtakes the shit out of everything he kills. Like, he...
Yeah, he'll randomly do a lot of stuff. The main thing is positioning is everything with him, because his gun range is short, and... Alright, I've had to do this, which is I've had to quicken myself, charge... I had to charge, This is the same game, as I said, I eventually lost, because one of the reasons turning points was last standing my Great Bears. Eventually, I had to charge Gorshade in his own zone with Quicken... Then I had to throw a lock the target, and I could only either boost hit or boost damage. So I tried to roll the hard 8, and I failed, unfortunately.
What did you do to roll for damage?
I needed to roll an 8. So it didn't matter either way which one it is. I had to kill a Warwitch Siren in the corner of a zone. Now, that was pretty crazy as a play, right? But that's the kind of things that, That was because I was sort of out of position. And I kept getting forced back, because he put Apparition on himself, and was just creeping closer. And I needed to get... If I kill that Warwitch Siren, I win the game. Because even though I'm in single combat with Gorshade, I'd control the zone, dominate the zone for the win. Which would have been pretty cool. But that's the thing is, like... If, on the other hand, I was just nearby, I could have been like, okay, cool. I'm going to walk up, shoot your guy, and then repo away from fucking Gorshade with his crazy sword of destiny.
Auto stationary.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Anyway, do a proof of Strakov. He is also a caster we could probably... practice more, frankly, because he's kind of new.
If only his model was as nice as his art and his rules.
I don't know. I don't mind the model.
It's okay, but I wish it was as good.
That's fair. Anyway, Epic Sorcerer is the next on the list. Epic Sorcerer is...
the worst Sorcerer.
Well, yeah. Epic Sorcerer has semi-elise in life because Ghost Fleet is now a thing, and I suspect that Prime Sorcerer is still, frankly, better for that matchup.
Well, I mean, Shadowstorm's great and all, but we still don't really have a way of giving magic weapons to, like, you know, a unit without spending 12 points on Anna and Holt and Valachev, which no one really wants to do.
Yep.
So if Shadowstorm gave you magic weapons, then hey, let's go crazy with Sorcerer 2, but no, I don't see it. I just keep trying to write lists for her, and I just everything just feels woefully generic and pointless, and someone else does it better.
Yeah, that's what I found. Actually, the biggest thing I found with her is her feat is actually the biggest nerf for her. Like, the feat now...
having to still be in it in
yes,
the controller area, yeah.
It actually means her feat is 100% an all-in, no matter what you do. Because almost any list will punish the shit out of you if you feat and you're just within 12 inches of the thing. Especially because it's still as RNG-based as ever, right? Because it's about the damage roll exceeding armor. Now, to be fair, Mark II Epic Sorcerer didn't have access to Riflemen, or Rockets, for that matter, that could just, like, throw that much dice, which is probably one of the reasons why she's being nerfed as such, but it doesn't make the caster better.
Yeah.
Her
assassination potential is just outrageous with the CRA. I mean, especially if you take something like a unit of Nis with Valachev along for the ride as well, you know, they're being able to walk
10.
7, Zephyr 3, then shoot a massive CRA at dice plus whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it's massive, but it's a gimmick.
Yes.
And if it's not there on the table, then what do you do?
Yeah, and it's a case of, well, I can kill you as long as I can shoot you.
Like her defensive,
I'll just put a cloud in the way, or I'll put models in the way.
Her feat's like arguably strong. It really depends on the dice that day. Her defensive tech's not great. Her aggressive tech's not that great. Her stat line's not that great. Her control's not nearly as good.
Yeah.
Her focus stat is pretty low. Her defensive stats are eh. Like, she's just...
She really
like, her
misses,
feet
she
is...
really misses old Iron Flesh as well. Like, new Iron Flesh does not fit her in the slightest, I've found.
And it's like three of her spells she's got is like, common in the faction. Like, Boundless Charge, Iron Flesh, Razor Wind, they exist everywhere.
Yeah.
So the only unique thing she brings to the table is Cyclone, which is...
And Shatterstorm.
Again, very all-in. And Shatterstorm, which is very niche in its application, so...
Yeah. Well, Cyclone used to be really important, because it was how you got out after Freezing Grip, and you could do other cool tricks, like, you could walk in, Cyclone a bunch of assholes, like, get the Thresher effect, freeze one, and then, like, walk away with your normal movement, and then cannon people in the face. Can't do that anymore. I mean, there's no point to, for one. It used to be also, like, in there you could tie in using a feed at some point, do some other cool tricks, and she's not anywhere near as interesting to play anymore, I've found.
And she has the saddest shatter on her melee weapon with no way to make anyone stationary.
Well, it's like still crit stationary, right? Yeah,
yeah, it's just like, either that or you're playing, let's see. Ah, I got it. You're playing Ruger Shaw out of theme, and you're taking a Talon with the express intent of poking people to freeze them so that you can kill them with your hammer.
Good plan.
Or your Turnians have somehow survived their one wound hell to get close enough to land three ice cages.
All right, so we'll move on.
Shatterstorm is sad.
Yeah, it's...
It's like, it's not even give model magical weapon, just the blast damage that comes off of it turns magical. Yeah.
So you just got to ask your opponent to have all of his, like, ghost pirates clustered with the regular pirates and... Yeah, all right.
But even then, the blast damage doesn't remove from play. It's only the direct hit.
So it's just half garbage and half garbage?
Actually, I did notice that even in MK2, when Axis theme was running rampant, was you actually didn't RFP anywhere near as many models as you thought you would, because they'd just die to their own blast. In fact, half the time, they wouldn't shield walls so that you'd do that. I remember playing Axis theme, it took a good, like, 3 turns to actually make a dent in that list, and Axis theme doesn't shoot back anywhere near as well as, say, Ghost Pirates do.
Okay, I think we've paid her enough lift service.
Alright, let's talk about a good caster. Karchev!
Your mate.
Karchev. To everyone in the world who's listening to this cast, I'm sorry for getting Karchev nerfed.
No, you're not.
Yeah, kind of, I'm not, but... Wow, you have been nerfed like 4 times and you're still going strong. And Esson...
well, to be fair, he went from like the worst caster in faction to the best, which is, you know, after Mark II, probably somewhat deserved.
True. And fuck, like, so the first thing I'm gonna say is I was gonna play Karcher for the OTC coming up, and I'm not. I'm playing Butcher 3. And it was really weird why, because I realized that there was this bug report, right? Like, games were playing with games with Karchev. They felt fair. Balanced. Like, my opponent actually had a chance in them. And I was really curious why. And then I realized, oh, I know what's happened. We're playing under SR 2016 for this practice instead of 2017. I'm like, oh, damn. This is no wonder. God, Karchev, you're useless. You can't win an unfair scenario pack. Ugh. And, like, you're giving people outs. But,
indeed.
Yeah, it's like, how should I put it? When your caster is a jack and you have access to a shit ton of jack buffs and you've still got 30 fucking points free that you just get, and there's a jack theme that complements you nicely, it's just like, ugh, it's so gross.
Please stop.
Hmm.
He's fine. Leave him alone.
Yeah,
he's already suffered.
He has suffered a fair bit. He is an old man. He, like, let him have his nice retirement, a golden age retirement, actually. So, Karchev is, how should I put it? He's still, in my opinion, the best of the Jack casters. I think he just has, like, the way he mixes movement tricks with brutality is just great. However, he still has that problem where if you have an opponent who has tricks to beat him, like Ron, for instance, is what comes to mind.
Ossian
and Haley 2. Haley 2, like, might get outmatched by him. Like, just
outsubtled. You know, it happens, but I think she's got tools to play into it.
Correct.
Did you just say outsubtled?
Outsubtled, yes. I mean, Karchev's a very subtle guy with his, like, 9+ marauders.
You keep using this word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
indeed. I mean,
To be fair, there's actually less subtle casters than him in this faction.
It's true, actually.
Yeah. But yeah, like, if he has a shit matchup, he actually doesn't really... He has a really hard time fighting back unless you have a weird list or you've specifically teched for that. Like, if you don't know if you've played it, Matt, but if you've ever played against that Mage Hunter theme...
Yeah, not with a lot... I died to that.
This is 10 shades of awful, right? And it's not like you can do much about it. Even if they've got even if they die to blast damage and you've taken Behemoth for whatever reason.
No, well, see, the problem I had in Mark II was I always played Sorcerer Oceans or Doom Reaver Spam, and neither of them want anything to do with that. Yes.
I mean, to be fair, Sorcerer can at least, like... freeze off the back of the feet and all that, but yes.
I think Iron Fang is probably the list to play into that.
Oh, yeah. Or actually, Winter Guard as well. You just wear them down. You just gotta have enough, like, backbone to survive it.
It depends, because they take just as much shooting as you, except they can shoot you and you can't shoot back, aren't they?
With
stealth?
Karchev? Karchev doesn't take any of the, like, well, why are you taking the infantry models? I mean, you can take, like...
Right, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Out-subtled.
Well, I mean, and also, if we're talking about Mage Hunter Strike Force, you're forgetting, like, the best model to go into them, which is, of course, the Fun Carriage.
Right.
How could I forget the Fun Carriage, the most fucking reviled model of all?
They don't know what the hell to do against that.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, funnily enough, on that note, I've got a list that you might appreciate later down the line with that, which I've been forced to bide your rest play, and I've been pleasantly surprised with.
Is it Kozlov?
Yeah, it is Kozlov.
I thought it'd be Kozlov.
Yeah. I took your dumb idea of jamming a thumb carriage down someone's throat, like, okay, who does it best? Oh, okay, Kozlov does. And then I realized, oh, wow, yeah. The feet is a pulse, so you just feet, and then you send your gun carriage 20 inches
Goodbye.
Up the table.
Yep.
And then they have to kill this piece of shit model that does nothing, because it's in their face. good times. It's probably the only good thing to come out of that CID. Anyway, Karchev. Yeah. He brings magic weapons, which is really weird. And his axe body spray is still one of the most random and awesome things in the game.
You know, I don't think any... No, wait, never mind. Yeah.
I think what you do is you take Karchev, and you don't always intend to drop him unless you're going to crush the matchup. And
yeah,
in SR 2017, you just probably take him anyway, unless they have an answer to him. Because even in... like. Played a tournament last weekend where I played against, like, Colin playing Una 2. And it was literally like, this is the matchup you cannot win, Colin. Except he was going to win because we were playing Incursion, right? that's a problem because it was a similar thing happened the previous round where I played against Batesy playing Gorton, I think it was. And then the catch is, like, he managed to score the 3 points, and then it took him, like, 40 minutes to score the remaining two, but eventually he did it. Neither of these problems are anywhere relevant at all in SR 2017. Like, it just doesn't fucking happen. So you just, like, you just roll over them. I would say Cartridge...
What specifically about 2017 does that so
it's
far?
The fact... It's actually... I'll tell you what it is. It's that Cartridge in 2016, Karchev has to contest your flag.
Yeah.
In 2017, Karchev can camp his own flag and tick up at the same time as you.
Mm.
And if you go into his territory, which he can set up a big, like, kill zone of basically between Warpath and Battle Charged, he can set up a just, you go here and you'll just get fucked area. That's the main difference. Like, throwing a Marauder away just to contest the flag and having it require, like, a Warpath trigger is a massive pain. Having that not happen because, you know, the SR 2017 is as dead as the Dead Sea, well, that's a little different.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not quite true. Like, there are scenarios where you can outmatch it. I certainly like the ones with, like, 4 to 5 points, but if you weren't beating Karchev in attrition, it's really tough to... Anyway, whatever. We're talking...
Beat him on scenario.
Yeah,
because
much.
He's really safe just sitting there constantly putting his own points on the table as well.
Yeah, and he can get to a zone. He can get to a spot where he can just, like, straddle two zones. Incidentally, he because he's a caster, he also can control the infantry zone. So even if you don't have any infantry models left, you can still get those.
Well, he can score everything.
Yeah, exactly. And then he'll just, like, spray people down as his jacks just crash you to pieces. Anyway.
Yeah, and you can't even, like, you know, sort of... Some of them are generic ways of dealing with Jax, like, you know, knocking him down or turning him around or anything like that, because Jumpstart just laughs in the face of that. So he's just always got a way to get shit where he needs it to be through any means necessary, really. Countercharging, Road to War, all of it. So, yeah,
man,
he's
such
a
good
feat. That's a bit of a challenge.
That's it, by the way. Play him, because he's fucking fun.
Yeah, he's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially... You can set up a lot of really cool puzzling tricks with him as well. But yeah, would recommend.
All right. Yeah, I have a nice modded one that I keep wanting to finish painting and putting on the table, but it just keeps...
Backburnered.
Yeah.
All right, on to our less subtle caster, who's a bit more direct. We're just talking about Zakova. Never mind.
She's like the exact opposite of, like, direct.
Yes.
She's like, I gotta do this thing to make this arc node, which then means I can make cast these spells, which then get these, like, abilities to buff these spells. It's like... Like, there's, like, a chain you have to follow to play this caster.
Yeah. Alternatively, you can just walk up and feet and cast Watcher and call it a day.
Or Wind Wall. I mean, sorry, Cloud Wall.
Cloud Walls.
She can be simple, but I feel like she has a lot of options that are not always quite as straightforward as Karchev or Butcher One.
Oh, agreed.
She can feel a little Rube Goldberg at times. Like, the amount of things you need to do. I think because she lacks that damage buff or that speed up.
Yeah, she has no hit buff, no damage buff, and no speed buff. So
speed buff is the killer, is the biggest killer, I've noticed.
She has Ghost Walk, which is a nice one.
Ghost Walk is very useful these days. There's always terrain in the center of the table, and sometimes it's a house. And
actually, that's a, like, Pathfinder on a caster is way more valuable in 2017 than it has been before.
Yeah.
And if people start building tables even in 2016, following the rules we saw in 2017,
yeah,
I mean, we'll see a lot more line of sight blocking terrain, which will mostly be forests.
Well,
in the center of your table.
This is one of those things that really splits people depending on the meta they play in and stuff. Because, I mean, the value of it really depends. I mean, if you play in a small meta where there's not that much terrain and when you finally have a big tournament on, there's the terrain's really stretched amongst your tables, it loses a lot of its efficacy because there's just not as much to work with. So
yeah,
it's one of those really divisive casters that if you play somewhere where your TO is just obsessed with terrain and shenanigans, then, yeah, you'll have a great time with it. But...
Yeah,
in a parking lot.
If you play in a parking lot, it's a problem.
Well, in a parking lot, she still has a cloud wall.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, the biggest thing I've noticed, and so I played Brian on Wednesday, and he was playing King of Awesome, and one of the things that we were playing 2016, but we set up the table as if it was 2017, and one of the things I very quickly realized, like, hang on a minute, there's always an Elwes blocking terrain piece in the center of the table.
Makes a really good cloud wall extender.
Oh my god, it's so gross.
Yep.
And Zarkova can put out just as many cloud walls.
I
Clouds
know.
Is king of nothing.
Oh,
so.
It's turbo gross. It's so good.
Maybe it's a Maybe that's the time for a comeback for the Harkovich Kodiak wall again.
I think so. Actually, to be honest, I would 100% see so. Because, like, that's assuming there's nothing good in your quadrant as well, which you can often find often happens. But yeah. Zakova has sort of got a lease on life due to the Iron Fang thing. I think the real reason for that is that it gave her an advanced moving unit. I think she might have some game in the Winter Guard theme as well, but the problem is, like, her toolkit doesn't quite work with them. It's a bit weird. Mm. She really loves the cheap destroyers, because she can take two of those pieces of shit and they'll fill out her battle group points. I don't know, it's like, Zakova is one I sort of put on the back burner, actually, because I played so many fucking Iron Fangs in MK2 that I didn't want to play them anymore. I have no qualms with her. She's fucking good, though.
Yeah, she's very interesting, but at the same time, she just doesn't feel...
Oh, her matchups I've not figured out yet. Like, they're very...
I don't know what she's supposed to do for the faction. Like, you can definitely play her. She's definitely fieldable, and she definitely isn't bad, but I don't know what her role is to the faction.
Yeah, yeah, she's one of those...
Trolling. That's what her role is. She's an amazing troll.
She's really good in a vacuum, right? When you see, you try and make a list pair, you try and carve out that niche for her. I mean, the biggest problem I have with her is just figuring out how I want to use the feat. Do I use it aggressively to get up the table? Do I use it defensively when they're about to come into me? And I feel that the way you play her really defines what you're trying to do. But when you come down to finding a specific role for her, there's usually one of our specialized casters who does it just that little bit better. And it's that sort of Sorcha 2 syndrome again. Like, she does some fine stuff, but others just do it a little better.
Yeah, you're right. But I think she's better than Sorcha 2 in that way, because I feel she can fill the roles you want her to if you need her to. So I feel it's more to taste. Like, she's a caster that people can play if they want to play her. But like you said, she's not really good, or she's not the best at any one thing. Though her feat is pretty, really strong denial.
Yeah, please. To public service announcement from Dark Guidance, please reread her feat. Especially if you're on the opposing table. Like, her feat shuts down way more than you think it does. But conversely, actually, when I've played Zakova, I found that when you were saying, do I use it aggressively, defensively? Always aggressively. Unless
just
it'll get you killed.
Throw her up there.
Well, like, and repeatedly I found that the best way to play Zakova was if Zakova was one of my furthest forward models. And the reason why is that if you get that feat in deep, you can present your opponent with literal time walks. You can do a whole bunch of stuff. Like, it's when the choir can't do their calls because you're feeding on the choir, and you're like, what? You can completely shut down turns, but it requires a lot of, like, you need to know what you're doing. And actually, the other thing I've found with Zuko...
But you also need to be able to set up to take advantage of that. And
agreed.
That's the big struggle.
Yeah. I think Pikemen help with that, which is why that Pikeman theme seems some play, but yeah, otherwise it's tough.
I think she's just, like we said, she's like, we have Karchevs and stuff who are not so subtle, and I think Zirkova's all about the subtle touches.
Yeah.
We'll also close her out by saying, one thing I've noticed with Zirkova is that post-feat turn, a lot of her plays she wants to do cost her roughly 5 focus, which is a problem. Let's say when you do want, like, Hex Blast at range 15, boost hit, boost damage. Okay, cool. And then put a cloud down. You're like, wait a minute, that's 6 focus on my caster. That I've found is actually probably one of her biggest issues, but then she can do cool stuff like she turns one of your opponent's guys into an arc node, spins it around, and then throws out a 1-cost force hammer in their face.
Mm.
That's good.
She's got the Irask syndrome of just, oh my god, I can't hold all these awesome abilities that I can do, and then you've got to trade that off against... Oh my god, I want to live to see next turn problem. To do more of them. So,
Vlad 2, there's always one rule I forget in the game. Like, there's like, why didn't I do that? I had it all game and I just never did it. Because you're just like, because I was doing all these other awesome things. And
it's like, oh wow, this is the perfect answer to this stuff. Well, I was going to say that was the perfect segue into Erusk, but I think we're going to the wrong Erusk for that.
Yeah, we're in Erusk 1.
All right, Commandant Erusk. He's a lot more interesting than he is in MK2, to be honest. The battle plan's a big deal for him.
Yeah.
Range 5 is garbage.
Yeah.
It's the same, like, it's worse on his protege, Malakov, but...
Yeah, I mean, the big battle plan he's got is the Repo 3-1. That's really important. And he can
use Pathfinder.
Pathfinder.
We talked about that earlier.
That's true, yeah. And also, like, he can use it on himself is important as well, which I like.
Mm. Well, look, it was a good trade-off for the assault and quick work that no one ever
got any assault use
of. Yeah, I know, but the whole, like...
And reload one.
The frontline IRASC 1 Mark II plan never really worked out, so I'm happy he's got a bit more of a backline toolkit now.
Yeah, me too. He's actually not changed that much. He plays well in the Iron Fang theme. All there is to it, actually. Like, there's
one very important change. He became the single caster with Inhospitable Ground in the game.
Yeah, yep.
That's a big deal.
It's true. You don't have to take your fun courage now to generate rough terrain templates or a victor, I guess.
But then again, I mean, if we're coming into SR 2000, I mean, I admit I haven't played anything of SR 2017 with OTC coming up. I didn't want to confuse my brain. But if terrain's becoming such a thing as you expect, are people going to be bringing more Pathfinder, do you think, and he gets caught up in the collateral?
Absolutely, they will. And yeah, like, Inhospitable Ground, I've always found when I've played him, is just like, when the matchup comes up, you're like, oh my. Like, it literally is Illidan. It's like, you are not prepared.
Just clouds part and a chorus of angels strikes up and a single
you're
tear
just like,
rolls
how did this glorious moment has appeared? It's like, I remember back in, like, Mark II, right, where it was just like I was playing against some Doom Reaver spam guy, not yours, it was another one, and I had Irusk 1. I'm like, this is phenomenal, I have Inhospitable Ground, these Doom Reavers can't do anything, and I nearly fucking died anyway because, like, oh yeah, but I got Boundless Charge on this guy.
Oh, gross.
Do you know what his name is, actually? Can you think of it? Oh, I know what it is. It's Ruin, that's his name. Oh shit, yeah, I was forgetting that. And
cool,
yeah, I nearly fucking died. If it wasn't for Butcher rolling so low on focus, I would have died.
And the old Butcher 2 dice rolling guy, the bane of my existence all the way through Mat
2. Yeah.
His spell list is just fucking fabulous.
Yeah.
Battlelust, Inhospitable Ground, Iron Flesh, Superiority.
But that's the thing, like, Inhospitable Ground is probably actually the worst spell on this list.
I feel like in the right matchup, it is the game-breaking spell.
Oh, yeah. If you have the right matchup, the spell literally translates to your opponent, just gets to eat shit.
Like, how sad is that into, like, a Jack spam list, like, without any Pathfinder?
Yeah. Well, actually, one of them would be Colin's, like, that Infernal Machines Gorshade 2 list, because I'm pretty sure Gorshade 2 lost Ghostwalk. I can't remember that, actually. But basically, that list did struggle for Pathfinder. I remember that because it was like, the Soul Hunters don't have Pathfinder. Oh, wow, the Brute Thralls obviously don't have Pathfinder. Like, what has Pathfinder? I get a resounding, yeah, not much. And one quick double check later, and yeah, Gorshade does not have Pathfinder. And you just, like, randomly, you're like, okay, cool. You gotta eat dicks for that matchup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, it's also, they started giving every second caster Onslaught recently as well, which is a bit annoying around that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Pathfinder is one of those things that people go, oh, we haven't done that for a while, and then they suddenly give answers out. And...
yeah, like, oh, okay, thanks, like, guys.
You guys just keep talking. I need to run off and get a phone charger, or else I'm not going to be able to talk about what models do.
Okay, cool. Fair enough. I guess that's fine, because we'll go to Malakov, who no one really cares about.
And so now I feel like we invited Hickling, but I feel like this would have been like the perfect caster for Sykes to be on to talk about.
Yeah, that's true.
Which makes me sad, because I think
Ed isn't playing Sykes. It isn't playing Malakov for the OTC,
but he still has like the most experience probably of anyone I know.
Yeah.
Possibly of most people who play Kador in terms of experience with Malakov.
He got in the IG finals with Malakov. Okay, so Commander Andrei Malakov is understated, I guess.
No, but he's not, because it looks like he is, and then you look at all the things he does, and you're like, oh, no, actually, all those stats that are really low just don't matter.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, he's the master of deception.
Sorry?
He's the master of deception.
Yeah,
he just lures you into a true sense of security, but then just ruins your day somehow.
Yeah.
Like, he's way more interesting than most people gave him credit for in the beginning, and I still think a lot of people undervalue him. Like,
I agree to. Yeah. He's like the kind of...
He's definitely unique for the faction. Like, the way he plays is very different for Kador.
He is
fun. Which I think
fun.
Throws a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
He's fun, and he has, like, weird things that, like, you just don't see coming until they open up, and you're just like, oh, wow, I can just charge Behemoth through his entire army and kill his caster, and I didn't even notice until, like, 5 seconds ago.
Yeah. And, man, he's a cast writer like for living dreams, because he can live some amazing dreams, like Veil of Mist's feet charged through a guy, give yourself the backstab plan, and shank him in the back. That sounds like the most derpy thing anyone has probably suggested in the history of ever, but I've done it, and it happens. His big thing... Okay, so his main unique thing is he's got battle plans, but they're all three very unique ones. He has...
Yeah, they're not like Pathfinder and Reveille. Yeah.
Erosk has all the boring ones, and he has all the ridiculous...
Weird niche ones.
Yeah.
Mm. That don't always seem relevant, and then when they are, they're like super relevant.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, to be honest, right, the first two are actually pretty easy-ish to get off. I mean, first one's Fighting Dirty, which is your next attack knocks someone down.
Yep.
That is amazing on Drakens or cavalry models in general.
Or just, you know, any model.
Yeah,
as long as it's fairly accurate.
Native high mat, so something like, you know, Eliminators that can...
Yeah, I've done that
almost
too.
Guarantee hit something.
Well, Eliminators, actually, I really like for the third battle plan. But the second one is the one actually a lot of people just use over and over. It's just you get Prowl, and from what I've seen... A lot of people run Malakov with, like, Warjacks, and they'll use the Prowl battle plan on just Malakov and give him basically permanent stealth.
Yep, seems fine.
And then finally...
So he's escorted, so he's...
Escorted,
he's
suckered,
15, 16, then he's suckered, so if there's infantry nearby, they die instead. And then he's stealth, just, you know, for, like, shits and giggles.
Yeah. And then,
like,
yeah.
Oh, wow, that guy's really hard to... Like, really easy to kill, they say.
Yeah, no, he's not. And then, of course, his feat comes into play, and you're like, okay, yeah, this is just not happening.
The most oddly named feat ever.
Yeah. Oh, before we go that, we have Backstab, which is his third one. Now, Backstab is where a lot of dreams get lived.
Can we just have a moment of silence for the brief window where Eliminators could charge through things and then stab them in the back and turn around before they fix that rule?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
That was the most glorious thing.
I've done it. It felt dirty. But then again, the ability is like...
But it felt so good.
It felt so good. And you're just like, especially... Like, to be honest, they can still basically do-ish that. Because they can stab someone, then jump behind them, and then stab them again, this time with the backstab bonus. So it's like you charge a target four times. Which is... Ah, it's so gross. And then we have, like, his spell list is kind of, like, it's got Escort and then three other spells. I mean, to be fair, Veil of Mist...
It looks really underwhelming when you first look at it.
Yeah.
But then you just look at how it sort of interacts together, and you can see the benefits between, you know, just that Veil of Mist just opens up so many possibilities. Because, I mean, I know from when I was playing the Harkovich 8 Heavy list, it just felt like playing Fists without... martial discipline. Like, you could never get anything where you wanted it to be. Everyone was in each other's way. It was
pretty
miserable.
Awkward. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're like, Veil of Mist, like, okay, well, not only does this make my feet work against people trying to jam me, but it's a cloud that I get to see through and I can upkeep. Just like, holy shit.
So there's two things that make me sad about Malakov, and I do enjoy playing him, but I don't think he's perfect. One is range 5 on his battle plans.
Mm.
It's fine. It's, like, on every other rule kind of like that. But just, like, Crow Threader is just so less interesting. Because there are shitty models in Faction that would just love that rule.
Cossites.
Oh. Like, is it so much for them to have one or two lists where they're actually, you know, decent? Like, in Sorsha, you can kind of play them with some efficacy. But, like, would it be so bad if Malakov was the one guy who could, you know, make them do the thing they kind of want to do?
I'm tempted to say, like, yes, on moral grounds, because they're Cossite Woodsmen.
The other is I miss him, damage buff. I mean, like, why did you take Malakov 1? Because he had, like, red line. And then when you got Malakov 2, you look at his card list and you're like, so...
Where'd red line go?
Where's the damage buff? Because it just feels so, like, it feels like there's this one empty spot on his spell list, and it's just sitting there looking for this thing that goes +2 damage or...
Yeah, anything, really. I'd have taken Primed. That'd be cool, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like that was a missed opportunity for something even simple.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anyway, I mean, that's Malakov.
There is always that theory that they're just, if you had that, you'd be getting too close to Irask 1... with the battle plans and superiority and all that sort of stuff.
Everything's so different.
Yeah,
so
like,
different.
The rest of Malakoff's thing, like, to be
honest, who cares if he's like a little bit of a copycat, but he does all the things Rusk does in like a, in the same way, but gets different results for it, which makes him really interesting. So I don't understand why a damage buff would have been so bad, because an extra dice versus plus two damage is also very different, but it also makes them distinctly interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of has a damage buff, but it's like really awkward to get off, and it only works on a single model slash unit.
Yeah, it's model unit.
But I mean, and then it doesn't work on Jax, and I mean, that's what he used to be the guy that did things with, and it, again, it's...
Yeah, he is still a little schizophrenic with what he wants, because he's got all these great battle plans, but they only work on infantry. I think the Jax theme helps him a lot. It gives him a couple of good models to soccer to, if nothing else. And it gives him access to Eliminators and Cossites if you want to take him, because, I mean, more SR 2017 talk, but as... Ambush is actually surprisingly relevant in SR 2017.
No, definitely.
Because the zones almost... I mean, to be fair, Ambush is good in scenarios like, say, Incursion. Because you're always threatening that flag.
Yeah.
But in SR 2017, the TLDR of it is like, almost every scenario is kind of like Incursion. There's a lot of spreading going on. And there's a lot more infantry as well. And yeah, like, he... It would be nice if he had something more, but I like what he does. I just find he lacks the raw power.
And I agree. I feel like he's more interesting and probably more playable than people give him credit for, but I feel like him, like the other ones that we've talked about, like Zarkova and...
Karchev, like...
No, not Karchev. No. Zarkova and Sorsha 2, they just don't really have a place.
Yeah.
Definitely playable, definitely good, just not...
I don't think he's more Sorsha 2 than Zarkova, because Zarkova does do unique stuff.
That's true, I suppose. But he does unique.
She does really high power unique stuff. Like that feat is a giant fuck you.
But I feel he's not as weak as Sorsha 2 either.
No, that's fair. I like
he's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah,
and he's definitely good as a dark horse. I mean, you can turn up to a tournament and drop him against someone who's never seen him before and just.
What does his feet
really,
do again?
Really badly, because they just, you know, you need to see all the moving parts happen once or twice before you can understand what he's going to do to you.
I love watching Ed play. Like, it's always amazing, and it's really interesting. Like, he's a cool caster. I just want people to be clear, like, he's not bad.
Yeah, agreed.
Next is a caster who is, like, I find the exact opposite, where he's incredibly powerful, but every time I put him on the table, I feel like I need to take a nap, because I'm so bored.
Yep, 100% agree with that.
He is just pushed models forward and don't die.
Make a cloud wall, I guess. That is.
I guess? But is it, like, you don't even need to do that, because his armor gets so high.
Yep. Yeah. We are, of course, talking about Commander Harkovich, the Iron Wolf, who has graciously lent his namesake to the Jack theme force.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's his tier, Jaws of the Wolf, wasn't it?
Jowls of the Wolf.
I don't know if he's actually fat. He just
No, he's not fat, but that's what I like calling it.
He's just wide-armored.
Yeah. All
and
right.
Bushy-bearded.
Fuck, I loved Harkovich in MK2 and MK3. He just...
I just don't know what he wants to do. Like,
I do know what he wants.
His entire game is run forward feet, and if anything gets knocked down, just jumpstart it. Because broadsides is fucking useless.
In the very, very early days of Mark III, I think it was at Convic, I was playing, this was before any theme lists and stuff, but I was playing a list with like Behemoth, the Destroyer, Black Ivan, some other stuff, and managed to outshoot a Lilith 2 list and have the Legion player sitting there complaining that I was taking a heavy off the table each turn. There was nothing he could do about it. I just felt this moment of just like, broadsides is doing things. Defenses have come down. I'm actually hitting stuff and killing things. It was so beautiful.
To quote one of my good friends, Jack, who you may or may not know, that seems unrealistic.
Well, no, Legion heavies are low enough defense in some cases.
They are.
Just not angels.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, they're quite pathetic when you knock them down.
So, I mean, like, Fiona the Lash would just, like, laugh at this list and just go until, like, she had to actually, like, break its armor, but...
Yeah, that's true.
Shooting something off the table seems a lot harder.
Mm.
But, I mean, like, cause I've played Harkovich a fair bit in Mark III. Played him for a long time with just 4 Kodiaks and 4 Juggernauts and just, you know, do the trample 9 inches, drop a cloud, reposition just behind it until I engaged. And I just still remember a game against Potsy at CanCon, where by halfway through the game I was just miserably pushing models around the table, telling him to hurry up and kill me so I could end this. Absolutely, it's the worst. It was one of the worst experiences I've had of just like, he couldn't kill my stuff. I couldn't move anywhere. Everything was just this long, slow grind, and it was just painful.
He's so like, boring.
So boring.
So like, to me, Harkovich runs off of like half of his card. Half of his card does stuff, and the other half is just like, okay, you're there, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like his model. I like his fluff. I like the idea of him, but every time I try and put him on the table, I just regret it after. I'm like, oh, and I'll just like win the game. Like, not like it's not hard. It's just like, yeah, that was a thing I just spent time doing.
It wasn't that interesting.
No, it's really boring. It's really dumb. Like, warders, I played the warders list, and that felt more interesting than this.
Oh, damn. All right. We should probably go into a couple of things with Harkovich. There are, like...
Why? We've talked about everything. Your feet run forward and you're done.
I mean, you can play him... Okay, yeah, that's true. All right,
actually, no, there is one little thing, one little tidbit I'll give you, which is if you play him out of theme, Ruin is probably the best Iron Sentinel target I've found, because he can charge up, kill some dudes, reposition back, then Harkovich walks up, stands in base-to-base with him, and now not only do you have +2 def and armor and can't be knocked down, but you're also... pretty much immune to spells as well, which means the Jack can't get TK'd away from you, and that's just, it's brilliant.
I'd agree with that. I found that...
That is really good when it works.
No, it works a surprising amount, because a lot of the placement effects, like, no gun that I'm aware of, unless, like, you get hit by a Conquest or whatever, basically will slam a large base model, so they have to actually shoot...
I mean the Ruin soul part.
Oh, no, but even then, the fact that Ruin is immune to spells...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like, I've found very similar things with, like, Strakov as well, which is a caster we'll get into, because he's a lot more interesting than Harkovich.
Yeah.
Ah,
he's next on the list. Actually, let's just go straight into that.
Fuck Harkovich. Let's just go to Strakov.
Yep. Okay.
Oh, he's so good.
I took Strakov.
He was like, so WinterCon last year was the first time people got their hands on the new rules, like for the Mark III rules, because it was July last year, so it was like a couple weeks after the official launch, and oh my god. Like, I had just started Kador. My pairings was Sorsha 1, Strakov, and they were, like, the most fun casters ever. Because they're just so dynamic. They're so interesting. And they're so bloody strong.
Yeah, Strakov's, I took Strakov the WTC, and I actually regretted not dropping him more, was my biggest thing I took away from that. Because...
Oh, he's so good.
He solves threat range, is the TLDR, and...
Well, he, like, in a game, in an edition where they, like, okay, we had a lot of really absurd threat ranges, let's, fix that issue, so, you know, everybody lost stuff. And so, like, he's like Irusk, where they're like, we have too much inhospital ground, we need to knock that down, so here's Irusk. They're like, we need to knock down the extreme threat ranges, and Strakov was one of the ones who's like, you know that thing you don't want us to do anymore? I get to be the guy who does it, and I get to do it well, and it feels so good.
Yeah. And just sometimes, like, there's a guy in my meta, Dave, who played him a lot, and the amount of times he would just plan out this whole turn, and then just halfway through realize he could just accidentally kill their caster with, like, a feated superiority overruns Jack that just happens to stumble up to their caster and... punch it in the face 3 times. I mean, you're just like, well, how did this happen?
I
remember the first time I played against Dylan with Strakov, and I'm like, I was getting fucking rolled, and just like, but I think I got a beat on your caster. And I'm like, he's just like, wait, what? As I think I charged about 14 inches. Basically, I did the 14, then 6. It was 14 inch terrain. So it was like, oh, fuck, no, I'm going to have to think about this. Basically, I got on his caster at the extreme of 20 inches. I mapped out the turn, and it's just like, actually, that isn't not just possible. That's actually quite likely. And then Ruin beat. And then I think Ruin smashed Ossian in the... No, it was Ron in the face, and it felt good.
Well, Ron deserves to get killed from downtown as much as possible.
But I mean, he's one of the few guys that can go like, hey, Lulu3, let's play like a late... Let's play like a have a gunfight, and we can actually like... shit, like...
He brings a knife to the gunfight, and then he throws the knife at you, and it about ricochets off of something and stabs you in the throat.
That is a way better analogy than what I was going to use.
Fair enough. Yeah.
He's so good.
But also just doing stuff like putting occultation on Iron Fangs and then putting Turnian clouds on them and then just laughing at your opponent trying to see through your clouds. And it's just nonsense, some of the things you can get up to.
Yeah. And Battering Ram is just super useful in scenarios sometimes. Occultation, you said, is good. Overrun is like his bread and butter. Sentry is weird but sometimes useful. And Superiority is just fucking gravy.
Yeah. So as the probably the one with the most experience playing Strakov, here's a couple of things I've found with him. One, Overrun, you have to get this in your head. Overrun gives you more threat than your feet. A lot of people I know play Strakov, especially they play them infantry heavy. I found that they weigh like way too much on the feet. The feet is actually best when you just hold the feet token of your opponent, like, gonna get ya. So they play more cautiously, especially if they've seen what he does before.
It's a cane to a source of feet.
Yeah, exactly.
And where it's more threatening the longer you hold it, because people have to play around it longer.
Yeah, and then, but you actually do stuff like, you just use Overrun to just sling juggernauts at people, and just like, so they're dealing with like basically a rain of juggernauts as you slowly close in and just choke the life out of them. Second, Sentry, the best model, I mean, the best model put on is a Victor, but the second best model is probably, it's the second best model is a Widowmaker Marksman, but the third best model, and frankly, the most, there's a trick with Strakov that not many people actually know about. It's what you do is you put on him, Strakov himself, and you use the Sentry to trigger to throw one of his smoke bombs at one of his jacks.
So you make a slight smoke wall for yourself.
Yep, pretty much. And it really changes a lot of the matchups you can play into. Like, Sorsha, for instance, would normally just kill him for showing up on the table. But when you have a cloud wall, you're like, okay, this has got really awkward really quickly.
It's still doable,
though. You're forgetting Sorsha's like biggest weakness, which is a stealth warcaster.
Sure, but I'm more
That's not a weakness.
I mean, Sorsha, but to be fair, Sorsha can just like,
Sorsha's magic.
Sorsha would just probably hammer in the face. Yes, congratulations, Dickling. You got someone to drink the Sorsha Kool-Aid as much as you. I'm currently out.
To be fair, Dickling wasn't the one who got me in that Kool-Aid.
That's true. Yeah, that's fair. And what else?
I mean, his most useless rule on his card isn't Brutal Charge. It's Veteran Leader Assault.
Commanders. Brutal Charge actually is surprisingly good. And
Resourceful. Why does he have Resourceful? What the fuck?
I mean, I played, to be honest, there's not a lot that's changed between Strakov in MK2 and MK3. It's just the entire game has changed around him. And he's just like, oh, and I got Resourceful. Yeah.
Oh, he's so
good. Just like every time I see a torch somehow salvage a game by charging into something and then sprinting somewhere obnoxious, it just, Kador Jack sprinting just never looks right.
No, it doesn't.
No one ever sees it coming, and I've seen it just turn the tide of so many games.
Especially because he charges and he throws out a flare randomly and then just jukes away. You're like, what was all that about? What happened? Actually, that is something. Strakov 2 cannot run Torch. Strakov 1, on the other hand, can run a mean Torch.
He's like the only one.
Yeah,
there's a couple people who can make it work, but Torch is a little awkward as a model.
The damage buff is kind of sad, but it's what it is. I've actually found another thing that makes him good is that it's actually the Jack theme, obviously, is quite strong with him, with the way I like to play him battle group heavy. But specifically what the Jack theme does is it gives you those two free Forge Seers, which allows you to run two gun jacks pretty much for free. So you could take like Behemoth and a Destroyer and call it a day. And
I used to run him with Malakov, so I can definitely see that.
Yeah, and then what you do is a Gunjack on Malakov is also quite strong, but in this Jack theme, you take Behemoth, which is the Jack he's always like. Strakov, out of literally anyone in the faction, runs Behemoth the best.
Oh, it's so good.
We're gonna have an orgasm over this. Look, he does fall prey to being outsubtled by guys like Karchev, I found. Because he has a lot of cool stuff.
He has two main weaknesses. He's really good against balance lists, but if he goes into hard armor, like hard jack skew or hard infantry skew, he starts having problems.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have enough things to do enough work generally to kill a lot of infantry, and he doesn't usually have enough punch and power to get through like hardcore jack lists.
Yeah.
Harkovich would just rear naked choke him out and put him to sleep.
Yeah.
So yeah, pretty much it's just like, look at all this cool shit I'm doing. Like, I run models forward. Like, I'm still doing cool shit. Like, I'm going to keep running models after.
but he's very strong in two guys that are like slightly more balanced, which is what we're seeing with most tier lists. We're seeing a little more balance to them.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you can pull the trigger a lot of the times with Karchev, with Strakhov, and just get on X onto their Y and then just put them in the dirt.
Agreed.
Like, oh, I can't beat this Ghost Fleet, but Denny, you're just dead. You're on the table, and I'll trigger overrun off of any of these million Ghost Pirates, and thanks for playing.
No, his assassination is always live. Plus, he's, like, even without occultation, he's surprisingly survivable. Like, I watched him tank a Zarkova 2 assassination.
Yeah, I've done that. Quite.
I mean, anyone can be tanky. I mean, I tanked a Butcher 3 assassination with IRASC 2 once. It's sometimes...
that feels like a dice then.
Yeah. Was that the game we played, Matt, or...
No. This is a very sad Dave down here in Melbourne.
Oh, damn. Gotcha. Yeah. Anyway. To be fair, I've done that as well with Irusk, but that was more because I used the War Dog to, like, reposition in the exact correct spot to block the impending doom. Good times.
Anyway, we got to keep moving.
We do.
We're not even halfway.
No, Strakhov good. Butcher too bad. Okay, moving on. Like, he still has Arcane Dementia, which means he's pretty much useless.
Look, I've played an inordinate amount of Butcher 2, and I still think there's hope for him yet, and I just haven't found the right list, but I'm working on it.
Okay, we'll leave that to you.
Let's just call that WIP. I mean,
it's just there's a subtle difference to the way his tokens work now.
Yeah, because he gets
collect them all and then hand them out at the end. It's a live as it happens allocation and spending.
I think
so.
Go on, actually.
You know what you're talking about. We don't.
Yeah, it's just one of these... Like, I haven't tried it too much yet, but I'm waiting for some theme or some idea that... Just, I mean, with models that can make a lot of attacks, things like, you know, your Fenrises of the world and guys like Ruin and that who can go in, collect a whole bunch of souls and still make a whole heap of attacks. If we ever end up with something that can do a bit of overtakey, like a Slaughterborn kind of... model.
Yeah, I think that's what he's missing, actually.
Really
is like
up.
We're probably just waiting for the right book.
Yeah, Overtake is the big one. You're right, actually, because...
Okay, he's one or two releases away from being really strong in faction. It's just, I don't know if we'll actually get those releases.
That's fair.
Or it won't be for a little while.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it'll be in Manowar.
One of the other issues, I guess, with him is the simple, like, avalanche of riches. Like, we've gone through this list, and we actually don't have a bad caster on this list. Apart from... No, wait. We have one, Sorcerer 2. She still does have a niche, but, like, that's what we're dealing with. Butcher 2 is a similar boat to Sorcerer 2. It's just that he doesn't bring any random meta answer, and... We don't quite have a list for him, so we guess we're going to palm him off for one of the other amazing casters. Speaking of which, who's next on the list, Brian?
Sorcerer 1.
Matt, who is your favorite caster of MK2?
Commander Sorcerer.
No, that's the best caster in Mark 1, 2, and 3. I don't understand.
No, see, what you've got to understand, like, okay, my position with Sorcerer is I pretty much didn't stop playing her for, about 3 years. Like, every single time I had a pairing, she was a pairing. Everything I did in that faction was around finding an interesting pairing for her. It wasn't like, what is a cool list I can write? It's like, what's a cool list I can write that complements Sorcerer?
I don't see the problem here.
No. So what happens is, like, the way I ended up playing became so refined with that list that when it was, like, certain models got changed and... The way the dynamic of the game changes, I can't unlearn the way I used to play that list to play her in a new way.
Oh.
It's really frustrating. Every list I write just doesn't seem to work in my head, and I can't get it to work on the table, and it's infuriating. So we're having a break. We're not divorced. We're just having a break, all right? We're having a separation. I'm going to go and buy a sports car. She's going to go and travel the world, see Paris, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to make this marriage work again.
I pity eventually. You. I pity you right now. She's so much fun.
You two are so doughy-eyed. It's disgusting.
I was like, okay, I'm done. Mark II, I'm done with trolls. I'm like, I have had a good run. I've been playing them for 3 or 4 years. In Mark III, they don't seem to be changing much. I need to do something else. You know what I've always wanted to play? Because I've had my ass handed to me so many times. Is play Sorcerer 1. Because she looks like... fucking baller. You know what she is? baller as fuck. Because you know what she can do is zip around the table, freeze these guys, kill those guys, make those guys over there do not nothing. I remember a game where she just like walked up, feated, and my entire army was like, huh, that's a lot of fen blades in the way. I wonder how I'm going to get at it. So my only fucking answer was to pick them up and throw them at her. Was not very effective.
The correct answer to your question is at least, what the Consortia 1 do? Anything.
Yeah.
She has...
I became like a massive fan of the bottom of the top of two assassination. Like everything I do would be around the trampling behemoth, gun carriage, snipers, assassination. To the point where everyone in my meta knew that this was coming and would go to great lengths to try and stop it, where they have like a colossal and multiple rows of dudes, and then I just walk up, wind rush, use tempest to knock down all those dudes, still freeze her, then use like arcing fire. It was just chaos. Like no one could ever find a way to stop it outside of cloud walls.
I remember going to my first CanCon, and back then Arian, who's now a Signar player, used to be the Sorsha 1 player that like got me hooked on her.
Give
and,
me the first dose.
And so
maybe the
he used to just, I used to like run into that Sorsha 1 wall every day, all day. And eventually I was like, okay, I know how this caster works. I think, I swear it had to be you because it was Sorsha 1 Gen carriage was my opponent.
Yeah, it's probably me.
So I play against Hickling and I move my caster up and then I'm dead. And I'm like, how have I not seen that before? And I was so mad at Arian that he had not prepared me. And I'm like, how am I not prepared?
Now, the better part was that if you went second as a social player and their caster moved 10 inches or more in a straight line forwards, you won on the bottom of one.
Oh, God, that's...
You could set up in a way that would let you win on the bottom of one. And I did that multiple times.
It's pretty gross.
No, that's beautiful.
Yeah, Brian has got up and is walking around and is doing some weird cramps. And I'm not gonna question why this is happening. I'm just gonna assume it has something to do with this caster we're talking about. For my part,
the word turgid comes to mind. I think so.
Yes. Well, for my part, I do like Sorsha 1. To be honest, like in MK2, I liked Sorsha 2 better. She was my girl. She was a lot lazier than Sorsha 1, though. She didn't have to. She, a lot of times, just read a comic book and then won the game. It was really
good.
You
were wrong.
Well, fuck you, man. I get to be wrong. But Sorsha 1 now has taken a lot of things I really liked about Sorsha 2 and has spun them up into her own game plan, which is now even better than it was before. I guess one of my things is I never really liked how flimsy that sort of Oceans list was. Even if it was effective, I hated when it just randomly lost. And then I'm like, oh, okay. So, I have a bit of a problem with, like, Lilithrian casters like that, and I see that there's this, like, thing where I can sack a gunshot to a fun carriage, eh? So, for CanCon, I played a fun carriage. And I actually didn't hate it either.
Sorsha was like...
To be fair, Sorsha can make almost anything work, even garbage models, like the gun carriage.
I played her into Colin with... Cossite Woodsman into Pirates.
Pirates is a pain.
She won.
Of course she won. It's Sorsha 1. We were just discussing this.
Yeah.
And it was good fun. It was good fun.
But it was into Ghost Pirates, way. Like the current unbeatable list.
Yeah, well, it turns
with out... With Cossites.
You're just... Yeah, but you're still playing Sorsha 1, right? You've said a lot of distracting words here, right? But you're still playing Sorsha 1.
You're not wrong, and she's probably one of the better answers to it. And I also kind of net-decked him by taking Armory. And I also might have had magical weapons with the Forge Seers, because I just happened to be testing the Jaws of the Wolf list at the time. So I do feel a little bad for Colin, but...
Well, to me, I've been thinking about it, and, like, even if you don't have magic weapons, the only model you actually care about is the Wraith Engine, because you can still freeze the Ghost Pirates.
All day long.
And the Ghost Pirates aren't 100% effective against what Sorsha tends to bring anyway. Like, either she's bringing some Ocean-style list, which A, has random magic guns from, like, Kel and whatnot.
Iris.
An Iris. Or yep. B, you're playing Wintergard Command, where you have Riflemen. Out the wazoo, and a lot of long-range guns. So what are they... Like, they're basically only stabbing you to death. You're like, sure, whatever. Or you're playing in Jaws, which is actually very, very effective.
Or you're playing in Iron Fangs, because you know what? Sorsha can play anything.
Is a strong, independent woman who can play whatever she fucking wants. But I think she's best in
Wintergard. She doesn't need no Vlad.
But I think she's best in Wintergard because...
Actually, she pairs really well with Vlad.
I know. I've done it. Like, to be honest, like, Sorsha's my caster number three. I kind of prefer Vlad and Butcher. And like, Sorsha 1, Vlad 2, Butcher 3 is, like, my go-to pair for just about anything.
But yeah, that's the perfect pairing. Yes. You got Sorsha 1, Butcher 2. Vlad 2, Butcher 3. I mean, 1, 2, 3 of the original trilogy.
Yep. It's pretty good.
And speaking of Butcher 3...
Butcher 3...
He's also one of my favorites.
Yeah. Butcher. The guy who makes murdering people into an assassinate... Into, like... It makes custom murdering stuff into just a game plan. Like, Butcher is... I reckon... First of all, if you played Butcher in Mark 2, he's quite different to play in Mark 3.
Okay. Yeah? So, here's his spell list. Energizer... Flashing Blade, Impending Doom, Obliteration, and Silence of Death. What is the most important spell on that card?
Obliteration.
No.
So that you can beat
and obliterate. No. It's fucking Energizer, because that spell's fucking amazing.
Yes.
Energizer is so good. It's so adaptable to whatever situation you're in. So we were talking about that King of Nothing game.
Yeah.
King of Nothing was surprisingly just getting dicked around by Energizer, because he's like, okay, I can't put my cloud here, because then he energizes into the cloud and charges my shit anyway. Okay, I can't use the Gremlin Swarms to fuck with his jacks, because he just energizes them out. And it's just like, fucking Energizer! I can't put my model here, even though I have Labyrinth in my pile, because even with Labyrinth, his threat range is still long enough to get through me, because he gets the two in.
And then charge back in, or just...
It's so gross, and it's so good.
Yeah. Energizer, it was actually a thing I realized, like, wow, Warpath is really good. It's like a 3-inch, like, Duken. That's quite strong. Energizer is only 2-inch, but it works on everything, and there's no bullshit required. Huh. I think I know which one I like better.
It gives Ruin a 13-inch charge range. It's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, so we should probably get into that, because the thing that makes Butcher 3... Like, Butcher 3 is a two-part package, because you take Ruin with him.
Yeah.
No questions asked. Butcher runs Ruin probably the best of... Sorry, Butcher 3 runs Ruin probably the best of, well, all of the Butchers. And are you there, Matt?
Yeah, I'm silly.
Okay, good, because I thought you'd gone, like, had your alone time after Sorsha, but...
Talk about.
But between silence, just having Silence of Death, the fact that you have access to a 13-inch short-range Ruin in your caster who, like... Butcher could have been, like, a Terminus-type guy. Like, he doesn't really do much for his army, but he goes, rawr, and then stabs people to death and that sort of thing. Butcher 3 instead is an army support caster who also happens to have 12 focus and ability to just, like, spin his axe around like a maniac and juke around. You want to play a longer game with Butcher 3 than you did in MK2. You also got to realize that Butcher's defense is not as strong as it... Like, his raw tankiness is not as strong as it used to be, but his defensive tech has gotten way better.
Yeah.
And so I actually think that, like, the Wintergard command literally brought him out of the retirement. Because during, at the beginning of Mark 3, you looked at him, he's like, how is he just not going to die? Because, like, he does not tank like he used to, and he's not easy to kill. But, I mean, a dedicated assassination probably isn't too much to ask from him to get him off the table.
Especially commander, like, Karchev.
And guns. He had no real good answer. I mean, you could kind of do a Kodiak Cloudwall, but it was not really as effective as with, like, Harkovich or some of the other casters.
Yeah.
But having Wintergard command, you're just suddenly like, oh, no, he dies. No, he dies. No, he dies. And
the other thing, too, is, like, you also just get access to advanced move, because, you know, you really needed that on your Ruin. So you can say, all right, top of one, if you come at me, here are all these warjacks just waiting for you as a welcoming committee, backed up by Rifleman, backed up by Butcher 3.
Backed up by a fun carriage.
He's the gun carriage was good with him, even with, like, even in the games. So I put it in the list to be his, like, target, but it really, most of his game, it spent around just ranging around in different parts because it was completely independent of him, which was good for that list at that time.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I actually found using it as a sack pawn was really awkward, and using it as just like a troll piece was actually really...
I liked it better with Strakoff for a sack target more than I liked it with Butcher. I liked having it as an option with Butcher, but I felt Butcher enjoyed having a model that could do the role that it gave him in that list.
Yeah, he likes just models that just troll around.
Self-reliant
stuff. Yeah.
Strakhov just enjoyed having, like, a giant, like, 20 extra wounds.
Well, that isn't what the gun carriage does anymore. Sadly, no one knows what the gun carriage does anymore, including Privateer Press. To be fair, I actually don't hate the new gun carriage with Butcher 3 for much the same reason.
Well, because it does what I was pretty much doing with it anyway.
It's a giant honey pit. A giant honey trap. That's what I'm after. Like, you can just have it ram stuff and just troll around.
Well, it means that they have to worry about it and not Butcher.
To get sidetracked off Butcher 3 for a second, but that's how I've always seen the fun carriage as its most effective. It's just this, no one ever realizes just how annoying it is to kill. No one ever commits enough to it. And you can really just throw it deep into your enemy's lines. It just punch shit, knock things around, throw some rough terrain around, kill some random solos who are just standing too close to something else, and then they have to... You know when there's going to be a lot of models around it. It's like a big semicircle of, I'm going to have some fun next turn. You can place models around it to go and do that. And that's... So for someone like Butcher 3, who loves having a big semicircle of people who have to stand there and kill something that's stopping them from doing anything, so he can just walk in there and impending doom more in and have a field day, it's just this great piece for that. And I think too many people spend too much time sitting it back and shooting with it than actually just throwing it in people's faces and saying, right, there's something you have to do right now.
Well, but, certainly with Butcher. Certainly with
it's
Butcher.
It's called a gun carriage.
Yeah, apparently.
No, it's a fun carriage. It's a misprint. It's a widespread misprint.
It is a dumb carriage. D-U-M, dumb.
That explains a lot. But anyway.
Yeah.
Butcher 3.
Well, the thing is, actually, on that note, right, I do find that a Clamjack does accomplish roughly the same thing as the fun carriage in that sort of sense.
For a similar point cost.
I'd be curious to see the gun carriage when it drops out of CID, and I don't know when they're done fucking around with it, but...
I think we have to wait a month-ish.
Yeah, something like that.
But I don't actually know.
So, yeah, Butcher 3. Like, okay, as you said, Butcher 3, you sort of want... You want to play him as attrition caster, and you want to be cognizant of his threats, and most importantly, if you're playing him, I would recommend any buddling Kaelin player out there, practice his runs. Like, practice actually getting him stuck in, because it's a lot more difficult now than it used to be.
He's also slightly worse at chewing through things than he used to be, it feels like.
Yes, but he can spend a lot more focus and be safe.
I guess, that's true.
But you can also you really need to understand what he can and can't actually... I mean, the amount of times I've just gone, oh, well, he'll just deal with that and send him in on something and then realize, no, I'm going to come up way short here and just lost. Or thought, oh, I can't commit him because I won't be able to take these things attacking him. But then realize, oh, no, he would have come through that with flying colors. Like, he's such a forward piece. You really need to have those reps in understanding what he can and can't face.
Yeah, and also positioning with him is key, because while he can have like a 13, 15, 18-inch threat range, 15 to 18, if they trigger Impending Doom... Sorry, not Impending Doom, Vengeance. While he can have that threat range, you really want to set up so he doesn't have to. And finally, his doggos, his little doggos, each one of them charging is effectively another swing with Butcher. Another charge swing of Butcher at that. Because that power 17. You're like, fuck. And then if you silence a death...
Just don't forget they've got gang, and don't forget they've got sprint, because, oh my god, I don't think I used gang or sprint once the entirety of Mark II, because I would just constantly forget, because I'd get so caught up in the rush of blood of, oh, Butcher 3 is going to kill everything!
Yeah, well...
And then completely forget the doggos.
I've sprinted into wrong locations, but I remember sprint all the fucking time, because of the times it saves you from, like, and I'm exposed and out in the open, Butcher's exposed out in the open, and then a doggo randomly eats an infantry model and then just runs to block the gap. And then the other doggo comes in and runs to block the gap, and you're like, and we're back to, we have to kill the doggos first to get to Butcher. Good times.
Butcher 3 is fun.
Alright, speaking of a not as fun caster, although possibly a better runner of a gun carriage, Kozlov.
I think he's going to be something I look at after OTC, because I think we can do some fun stuff. I think he's crying out for a Man of War theme more than anyone in the faction.
I agreed.
He doesn't run a single unit of shock troopers as well as, say, Vlad 2, but he runs a lot of them very well.
Mm.
And I
he feels like someone who, like, appreciates spam.
Yeah. He's also... So, we've been discussing on and off about the gun carriage and how the current incarnation of the gun carriage is more like a ram carriage, and it seems a bit weird. I would be curious to see him with that hypothetical Manowar battle engine, which I'd presume is probably a lot more punchy than a gun carriage, although I've no idea anymore. But that's the thing, is like those kind of models that are fast, tanky, and hard-hitting independently are really good with him. Like, he runs Drakens the best out of pretty much anyone. I don't mean Draken, I mean Drakens.
Yeah, now, this is my biggest knock against him as well at the moment, is that everything he does, it just feels like Vlad 2 does it a little bit better.
Agreed.
I feel somebody does something on his card better than he does. Like, his feat is just a worse Harkovich feat. His feat is feels like a worse Harkovich.
No, it actually feels like a worse Strakov 2 feat, I found.
Sure, that's also fair. I mean,
but
his...
it's different in use. I mean, that's why we were talking about the gun carriages with him. And Chris and I have been discussing this for ages, because putting that unyielding on the gun carriage with only its half-inch melee where they can't get away from it, and if they do take the free strike, get knocked the hell down...
I agree, but I feel like that's one piece in a puzzle that we haven't figured out yet.
Yeah, it's true.
I look at him and I go, like, what does he want? What is he supposed to take? And I've seen Chris run the battle engine, and that makes sense to me, but it just doesn't feel like he has quite the follow-up to go with it. And
he's missing a Storm Division like Maddox was, because he runs a lot of Maddox.
Which I thought was going to be the Iron Fang tier, but it didn't. It wasn't. Yeah. But in my head, that was like, he's the Iron Fang caster. He's obviously going to be Iron Fangs, but he wasn't. He just... Well, we lost him.
Oh, dear.
All right. One sec. I guess we could pause the record.
Nah, it's too late. We're doing it live.
We're doing it live.
What happened?
Hello?
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes. You just died for a minute.
Something happened.
Technical difficulties. Hold music.
There's a little too much gun carriage talk for the internet to handle, I think.
Ah, makes sense.
We are at Chris's house, so the... hate must just be, like, in the internet here.
Yeah, the internet, good old internet, it basically decided that there was too much of this garbage shit talk about gun carriage.
The
shut
walls
it down.
Themselves are just, like, bleeding words of gun carriage, trash model.
Trash model. Fucking unplayable.
That must be hard to clean up.
Well, yes, actually.
So, where were we on Kozlov?
We were basically...
missing pieces to a complete caster. Like, again, I've seen him on the table. He's not bad. I just feel like other casters do the things we're trying to fit him into better. And I feel like the gun carriage, as it is kind of built now, fits kind of his playstyle more now.
But I don't know about the rest of it. Like, for instance, the rest of that theme was just like... list was like Manowar... was like, sorry, Marauders and Wintergard. And you're like...
Eh. He does nothing for Wintergard, and he does nothing really for our Jax that's, like, outstanding.
Yeah. I mean, Chosen Ground was kind of cute, but the problem is the threat range, and especially the way I was playing it, I used the feat basically to run gun carriages at people and then run Marauders right behind
it. But there was
it.
Nothing really that could get that far up.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a gun carriage is twice as fast as a Marauder.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think he's another one, like, but in a less hopeful way than like Butcher 2, that a couple of more releases will see him really shine, as well as that Manowar theme. But I don't think he's far away from being quite strong with the right pieces.
Yeah, I suspect what will happen is he'll require less releases to be good than compared to say Sorcha 2, Butcher 2, that sort of thing. Yeah. But the end product will be lower power level. Because, like, Kozlov's not that complicated a caster when you get down to it.
He's very direct, which is fine.
Yeah.
But he's a little less direct than Butcher 1.
I mean, about the most complicated thing is you got to remember he has sidestep on his axe swing.
And precision strike.
And precision
like,
strike.
Like, both decent rules, but one sidestep's also really weird. Like, he's a little weird.
Yeah.
He's just a little weird. Like, the Battle Box casters for most of the factions are just a little weird. Like, not all of them were, like, super...
I don't know, like, I guess it depends. I guess, like, someone like, he's definitely no, like, Tanith, or...
Like, Tanith, Helena, and Ragnar seem to be the only ones that see, like, regular play.
Well, Maddox does as well.
Oh, but she wasn't until very recently.
Yeah, but...
Actually, until 6 months ago.
Yeah, but let's be honest, like, as Prawley described it in another cast, the reason Maddox does see play is because of Onslaught.
Yeah.
And let's just say Striker 2 had Onslaught randomly. You wouldn't play Maddox then, because you wouldn't have to. Although, I will say, having played against it just now, a note for the future, if you ever have to play against Maddox, who's running double storm strong lances, sorry, let me say it correctly, strong lances and a strong strider in strong division.
Okay.
It's really rough, because it's a case of, here are a bunch of storm lances with a feat that is effectively fury. In addition, there is an range 18 disco ball that is just generating focus for free and is just, like, trolling you at the back of the zone. You fucking have fun with that.
Oh, look, anything that keeps people from playing Nemo 3, who tilts me harder than anything else in the whole game, is tops in my book.
Fair enough.
Nemo 3 is just, like, straight up the worst until, like, to play against until you have the list that kind of answers him. And then he's actually the worst in terms of, like, being good on the table. Like, he's really weird. He's either, like, turned on, or he's just
very binary.
Flat.
You're either, very, very binary.
Yeah. So it turns out in Mark 2, having Doom Reaver spam to play into him wasn't really that ideal.
No.
That doesn't seem ideal.
Okay, moving on. Zerkova 2.
Speaking of binary.
Thanks, yeah, sorry?
I just thanked the Obovnik.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Obovnik. Thanks for being so binary, Obovnik.
No, that is, like, I love her and I hate her.
Mm.
Yep, agreed.
Like,
she's so close in any direction, but as soon as you go too far down one path, you're too screwed in any other direction. So you go too infantry clear, you can't kill army. You go too army clear, you can't kill infantry. You just can't find the balance.
I feel like she needs a Grey Lord book.
She needs
at some point
Grey Lord
to flesh her out.
Yeah, she feels,
'cause she needs magic to do what she needs to do, and that's her whole kit.
She is as one-dimensional as a paper cut.
Like, she's more dimensional than Butcher One.
Yeah, I would say, I'd agree, more one-dimensional, but...
And I also feel that her Reaver guards do not add enough to her as a package to limit her down to 24 Warjack points.
Agreed.
Yeah,
I mean, effectively,
just...
like, what are they actually doing? They're like, two extra wounds.
Countercharging.
Yeah,
that,
well,
that's...
they may as well be two Winterguard in Winterguard Command. I mean, Jesus Christ, they're... Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I just feel like she has a cool concept and idea. It just wasn't really carried out.
No,
super
the real issue with her is that she's very extreme in what she does.
Yeah, but if it's in the right, like, against certain matchups, it's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, like, if you wanted to just,
Ghost,
like,
Pirates. Ghost Pirates are just gone. They're just off
she
the table.
It's
bam
into
the...
crushed.
Yes.
Yeah. There's no middle ground with her.
Yeah, and that is a difficult thing with a caster, especially when you're playing against, like... Frankly, if you're playing against good players or players who've thought about the extreme matchups, you'd show up with her and then it feels very tough to, like, win against someone who knows what they're doing against you, even if you theoretically crush the matchup. Like, fuck, if you play against...
She's so predictable.
She's predictable.
If you bring her along in a pairing, you have to really enjoy List Chicken.
Yes.
Like, you have to really enjoy that mind game of List Chicken, because if you lose it, that's it.
Pretty
I would
much.
Love to play her. Her model is fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
I love her. I've got her artwork somewhere.
Oh,
me too,
her
actually.
Artwork, her
waiting
model.
To get framed. Yeah.
It's just her, and her rules are really cool. Like, the concept is really cool. It's just so, again, I'm going to say it, one-dimensional that it hurts her.
Let's be honest, right? What actually makes her one-dimensional is the support model she can take, because they're all basically guys with beards who have shotguns. And okay, or alternately, it's a guy with a beard in a Manowar suit who has a explosive shotgun blast at the same-ish range, right?
And I mean, if you don't take your interior, you can technically put, what's his name?
You can take the...
then becomes the greatest. What does Valachev want
to
do the
most?
Yeah.
So it becomes so Valachev and ex-spellcaster.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which, and like, Ion and Holt are actually kind of worth it at that point with just particularly her, because you get this random damage buff in faction in,
you
in the
list.
You
get two jukes out of them, and you also get a boost, additional die on hitting stuff, and you get a lot out of it. It's just, is it enough?
Worth it? Yeah, it's just, it feels like...
And then as soon as someone shows up with any kind of anti-magic, you just get randomly so fucked.
Yeah,
because the thing is, anti-magic is a lot of times it comes in bulk, or it comes in an extreme capacity, like Chromac 1, for instance, is like the easy, oh yeah, okay, you just get fucked.
Mm.
It makes me sad every time to look at her card.
Yeah. But here's the like, as a thought exercise, for instance, if you played her in Rhett, then she'd just be all over.
Sure.
Jeez. And then if you play,
but even Ron has more like game outside of hit that feat than she does.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, that's her whole game.
Yes.
Like, her spell list is Banishing Ward, which is cute. Hoarfrost, which is like technically bread and butter. Occult Whispers is what's actually what you're playing for. Sacklime, yeah. Which is like, why is this on her card?
I wish they just removed Sacklime from the game.
Strangest spell
Spectral
to be
Fire's just really awkward. Like, it was technically kind of funny when Madrak 2 was a thing.
Yeah.
And now it's just kind of like, why?
Mm.
And Telgesh Mark is awesome, but like, Hoarfrost is technically the only thing you're casting?
Yeah,
because you're not probably going to cast Spectrofire. It's
so one thing I found with her, which is going to be funny. Back in the day, everyone was complaining, "Oh, Zakova would be so playable with an Arcanode," and this is Zakova 1.
Yeah,
and like, "Oh, Zakova 2 fixed the problem. She has an Arcanode. We're
no
fixed."
Spells to cast.
Yeah, and here's the thing: I found it was the complete other way around. Zakova 1 doesn't need an Arcanode because her feat basically buys her the opportunities, and also her like artifacts buys her the opportunities to cast what she wants. Like. Even now, right? Zakova 1 has no problem applying a Hex Blast to wherever the fuck she wants.
Yeah.
Whereas Zakova 2, I actually found that because you have to, quote, reload Telgesh Mark after you're done arcing something, there's a gap in tempo even if you're going for the long game. And she really is bad at the long game, by the way, because the worst, like, if that feat gets taken off the table randomly, then you are just in deep shit. And, anyway, Zakova 2 is going to be bad until she's good. No, she's going to be bad or she's going to be great again. And that's the problem. It's like, it's all extremes with Abovnik.
Make Abovnik great again.
Except
she never was great, so.
She was great.
She has potential.
She's probably great at what she does.
The most potential out of probably all the casters that have potential because she's like on the fucking edge of being amazing.
Yeah, that's fair.
No, look, she feels like a great Mark II caster that just hasn't quite translated. But
she was never that good in Mark II.
No, she was good in Mark II because
I didn't say she wasn't good. I said she wasn't that good.
That's fair, yeah.
She was never great to begin with. Like, she was never that good at what she did in Mark II that made it worth it.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I found that she was good as a bully, but I think, Matt, you got it right. It's like you have to enjoy Liz Chicken with her.
Okay, yeah. Next caster.
Old Witch.
Let down.
Moving on.
She had a cool gimmick and they took it away.
I have to give Old Witch her time because otherwise when Sheldon Dark Horses everyone at the OTC and goes 7-0 or however many rounds there are playing Old Witch every round and we have to eat our words. So we have to at least give her some cred. There's going to be something to her if Sheldon's playing her.
Yeah, but it's Sheldon. Ugh. God damn! Now you made me doubt myself. All right, I'm gonna have to read fucking
Field
Sheldon's
Mark.
List.
Okay.
Because
Field Mark
and I had the best time at CanCon watching you play Sorcha One, talking to each other about the three ways you could have killed Ed's caster every single whoever you were playing every single turn that you just didn't see because you're such an IRAS 2 grindy player.
I saw those things. Oh,
Sorcha makes me so
I did
warm
not
inside.
Want to take the, I did not want to take the easy way out. It is grind city, damn it.
You don't understand Sorcha.
No, I don't.
Sorcia's not in your heart.
Sorcha is not life or love. All right, what is...
Anyway, no, she is all life and love.
I mean, she's got some great stuff. It's just, what is she missing? What doesn't...
Jack points is for it, one.
Yeah, is it another situation like Zakova 2 where you can't quite fit enough stuff to do what you need to do?
But what
her?
Does she want? Like, it's not. But with Zakova, you know what she wants to do, and you just kind of wish.
She reminds me.
Like, she had something else she could do on the side. Well, I look at Old Witch, and I'm like, I don't know what your real game plan is. She's got, like, I can make Scrapjack do stuff, but Scrapjack is, like, that's a cool gimmick, but that's not a great game plan. And then she's got Gallows, which is okay, but you don't, like. You have Iron Flesh, which is okay. Murder of Crows is nice because it's a class. Like, she has tools, but she has nothing that's, like, toolboxy. Yeah. If you know what
exactly.
I mean.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't have the movement buff. She doesn't have a damage buff or a hit buff or anything like that. But it's one of those things where, like, Kador seems like it should be the faction, if there was a faction, that can take a caster that doesn't buff any of those things. Because we have just enough strong stats in what our things natively do.
Sure, and you can take...
in some way.
And like Sheldon's doing, you can take Old Witch. And she just doesn't do any of the things you normally do. But then because there are casters who do those things, that you take them because they just turn great stuff better.
Mm.
just looking at Sheldon's
and
list,
her feet's good too.
It is win. That's what part I dislike about it.
Okay,
Sophie.
That's fair, I guess.
Like that to me. Like to me, she actually reminds me a lot of Zakova 1, except with a worse feet.
Sure.
Like Zakova 1 has very similar issues, but
sure, I would agree. I'd say she's a worse Zakova 1, which makes it even worse.
Yeah. To be fair, Apparition is no joke, and I suspect
Apparition's cool. So it's actually the thing we said that she didn't have, which is a threat buff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a really awkward one because it's not kind of taken into account in the points where you start actually measuring because it's already been done usually.
Yeah.
Like, usually Apparition, then you start working on your turn.
Yeah, well, it's also you're still working with Kador Jack, so unless you're talking about Scrapjack, realistically speaking, Apparition just makes you up to par, which is not fantastic, especially compared to, like...
But it's kind of like having Energizer just at a different point in the turn, which is, I don't know,
it's fine.
And it disengages and...
I wish he'd kept the, what was the ability she used to have? Augury or whatever it
was? Yeah, Augury. That's a big one.
Yeah, that would have made her interesting. Like, she would be the one who didn't give a shit about forests.
Yes. Yeah, she could really laugh at Legion.
Yeah.
Well, but she's the one who lives in the woods and used to be a druid. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know why she lost that.
Because they wanted to make forests a thing again.
Yeah.
So, and we already got a Rusk 2 who can ignore forests. So they probably like, that's too many casters in one faction.
Yeah. Well, by the way, Sheldon's list is Juggernaut, Marauder, Kodiak, in Winter Guard Command, by the way.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Sheldon. Why do you do this to me? A fun carriage. Joe, max mechanics, rifles with rockets, and then 2 free mortars.
You know what this sounds like? That he forgot.
It
sounds like he forgot they errated it so that Scrapjack doesn't get...
Yeah. It actually reminds
me... The theme benefit.
No, definitely feels like a control list. I mean, you've got the rough terrain from the gun carriage. You've got the Murder of Crows stopping, you know, low armor infantry moving around. You've got the feet to keep things in place. It definitely feels like I'm going to get everything set up where I want it to be on the table while you're mincing around at the back lines, and then you have to come in on me in a perfect setup in the middle of the table. That's what it feels like.
Jokes aside, that's probably more accurate.
Yeah.
Because, like... Again, she has tools. She's, like, no one in Kador is bad. Like, just straight bad.
Yeah. That's actually one thing to be, like, mentioned. Most of these casters are, frankly,
you can put all of them on the table and they all do something. They all have a small niche. It's just most people ignore some of them because the niche is more efficient with somebody else, I guess.
Well, it's also, like, a couple of them are too niche. Like, Zakova 2's problem is not that she's bad at doing what she does. It's just that
she's bad at everything else.
Yeah, she's only really good at that.
But again, like Scrapjack is all... with Avatar of Slaughter is, like, a fantastic Jack that can do a lot of work and can do a lot of cool things, and you can move her around in really interesting places and make scenario really interesting.
I want to stop talking about this because I'm getting that gut feeling that we're going to lose to Sheldon after shit talking Old Witch for so long.
I'm not saying she's bad. I have not been able to, like,
no,
I look
okay,
at her.
I'm a team captain. I can just throw someone else under the Sheldon bus and then blame them for being bad. So
well, actually,
okay.
That's a good point.
Both
I'm also a team
that.
Captain. I can also throw someone under the bus.
There we go. That's
the unplayable caster.
I kind of hope it's Jack.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, next caster, Butcher 1. The bluntiest blunt.
But Butcher 1 is the most subtle caster. Look at all the back of his card. Yes, that's right. He has the ability Sack Pawn Winter Guard.
So,
in theme, and that's it.
So when the CID came out...
Full Throttle feels like it should be
good. Sorry?
Full Throttle just feels like it should be good, but
it's
got
not.
It to work.
Full Throttle is very good
on Ruin. That's about it.
But that's really expensive.
Yeah, it is, but if you want to end a game, like, I guess...
It's not a bad spell. Looking at it, it's kind of good, but he's a 3-cost caster, and then he's got to fill his jacks with focus. And yeah, I guess on Ruin, it is pretty good, because Ruin can fuel himself.
That's about it.
Again, I actually played Butcher 1 for the first time with the gun carriage CID coming to a close. I wanted to give a look at... You guys tried it with Kozlov, and I'm like, that's a cool idea. I want to see what happens when you take it in a slightly different direction.
Yes.
Butcher 1 is not a bad caster. He is not as boring as Harkovich, but he is Blunty McBluntblunt, and your entire game is kind of like...
I think the correct term you're looking for is subtle. Look at how subtle I am as I... his like feet and shoot you off the table or just run at you with an axe.
Vengeful on Ruin is kind of fucking hilarious. They like charge in. No.
Yeah.
No upkeep for you. Yeah. Was that Arcane Shield's gone?
That's the only thing that changed from him between Mach 2 and 3, yeah?
I mean, it's not obviously that, like, it changed specifically him, but Iron Flesh changing from to an armor buff, unlike with Sorsha, and for that matter, Old Witch as well, like, Old Witch and Sorsha, if they put Iron Flesh on them, they were pretty much unkillable, because they jumped to, like, armor's 18, defense 18 and 19, which could then be fixed further, whereas, like, Sorsha going to 16, 17, and Old Witch going to 15... 16, neither of this are impressing anyone. Butcher, on the other hand, going to 14-20.
Yeah.
With the ability also to burn focus, like, that's a huge deal.
So, Butcher 1 is perfectly fun, and if you enjoy being the guy with a giant axe who walks forward and makes his army hit like they all have giant axes, it's a cool list. But, I feel like he has a very similar game plan to another person who's not too far down this list, which is Vlad 1. And Vlad 1 is just... like a slight, like Butcher and his list are very similar to the weapon he wields, a very blunt, extra dice wielding axe.
I don't know what kind of Butcher you've been playing, because my one just like spins like a ballerina and does some.
No, truths. That's Butcher 3. We're talking about Butcher 1.
And he power slides everywhere, and then he does this impending doom thing, and there's a black hole, and then everyone's dead. And
well, Vlad's list are much more like his weapons, where they just are really utility and can do a lot of cool things with weird
mostly
rules.
Mostly stabbing people.
Vlad is really good at stabbing people, but he's also really accurate about it. He does not quite as much damage as Butcher, but you know, more than enough. But he also affects like everything under like the sun.
That's
he
true.
Also has like some defensive tech, but okay, I'm gonna stop here. Butcher 1 just feels like he's also very narrow-minded, much like Zerkova, but broader. He's not quite so razor thin.
Well, the thing with Butcher 1 I found is that I actually like him better than Vlad, and it's specifically because of the fact he doesn't have to spend focus to make his army work. Like, he can just go like, I'm just going to feat this turn.
And that's not bad.
And allocate focus, which means...
But it's one turn.
It
has to be effective.
Sure, but...
Well, Vlad can do it every turn.
The same argument we made against Sorsha 2 and against Zerkova 2 is that if you don't get the value out of that feat...
Yeah.
You lose a lot with him.
Unlike Sorsha, though, he doesn't have to go all in to feed on someone. And
correct.
Unlike Zerkova, he can take whatever the fuck he wants and make it work. Like...
He still need he does nothing for accuracy, which means you can't just take anything.
I mean, you can just take Rifleman. Like, most of the...
Sure, but you know who can take Rifleman? Anybody. Like, anybody under the fucking... You know who can take Rifleman? Zerkova 2. You know why? Because they're just fucking Rifleman with Joe.
Yeah, but the difference is that you like, take... The difference is that if you take Rifleman with Butcher, every one of the little assholes shoots as hard as the Rocket, and the Rocket shoots, well, basically as hard as a Conquest main
You know
gun.
Who also makes Rockets really good with
Rifleman?
Vlad 1. You know why? Because he makes them accurate and do more damage. It's like...
Yeah, but
we can have this argument. I just don't know where it'll get us.
Okay, well, I'll put it this way. One of my mates from Canada, his name's Bobba. Hey, Bobba, you're an asshole. I'm going to beat you at WTC.
You assume good people listen to this.
That's fair. That's probably a mistake. Anyway, he has a Butcher list he keeps going on about, and I probably should run it at some point. But it's pretty much like awards for subtlety for this one. Ruin, four Marauders, Joe.
You assume anyone listens to this. Sorry, Hickling. You might not be as famous as you thought you might get.
I mean, I thought this was a problem for you, podcasting superstar Brian Woods.
You know, it's really embarrassing when you go out in the street and you introduce yourself like that and people don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I feel really bad for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You need to work on being more humble, I think. Anyway, Ruin, what was it? Something about Joe and 3 units of Riflemen with triple rockets and 2 mortars. And it's literally just fits.
Seems fine.
Yeah, and it just... kills people.
Turns out that list probably works with most people.
It probably does.
Again,
it's one of those lists like that IRASC 2 with 700 Winter Guard infantry, you know, that running around. It's just like, yeah, it's strong, but is it fun? Is it just,
Can you be bothered to make it work?
How many fucking IRASC 2 lists do you have?
Well, I do like IRASC 2. He was my boy, and he's still to some degree.
I'm looking at his phone. There's like, he's scrolling.
Yeah, it was about...
like 1, 2, 3
I have made
4 probably like 5 strokes to get through all of his lists.
IRASC 2. Supreme Commandant Irusk, well, these guys had their love affair with Sorsha. I had a love affair with a very different gentleman, and that is Irusk. That list, I'm glad I got to play that in Mark 2. And to be honest, that's actually one of the reasons I don't really play him in Mark 3 as much, is because I don't find he's as bullshit as he used to be. To be fair, Theme Forces, that was part because at the time I didn't quite realize.
I actually agree with you.
No, it's... Okay,
I mean,
okay.
One of the reasons why I was like, so one of the reasons that I wanted to play Kato was like, I was like, oh man, look at that Sorsha 2.
Yeah.
The other reason is like watching you at like the Iron Gauntlet finals and like all the other tournaments I like followed you around the world for was like, oh my god, that fucking Irusk 2 list is fantastic. It looks like so much fun to play. It's just like models charging through models and hitting stuff and there's dogs doing weird shit. And I'm just like, oh my god.
There's wheels, it literally like and now, wheels within wheels.
And I'll never get to play it.
Yeah.
Because I look at it now and I'm like, you don't do what you used to do.
Can we have a moment of silence for the greatness that was Battle Lost at Alexia with Velichev?
The greatest Velichev ever.
Yeah. They truly were something. Yeah, Theme Forces sort of bring him back, and they kind of bring, like, Irusk can frankly run any of the infantry he wants to. Hell, Hickling, you've got a very effective Irusk list as one of yours.
Well, it's like, yeah, because in Mark 2, this is not just related to IRS 2, but in Mark 2, the spell, anyone ever asked me, what's the spell you want in Kator the most? It was always Solid Ground. I desperately want Solid Ground, because I love Kayazi. I love having that, you know... That you can't blast them to death. They're stealth. They're tough. They can't be knocked. It's amazing. And so as soon as I saw it, I'm just like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. And yeah. I played it for a little while and then moved on to test other things. And then they decided to give me a theme. Where yes. If I take a whole bunch of Kiazi with IRS2, I get free things.
Well, if you take a whole bunch of Jacks, like you just fill out his Jack package, you get free stuff for your Kiazi.
Yep. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's a very good mix. I do quite like it. So there are two ways I would recommend, and this is emphasis, recommend playing Irusk 2, because Irusk 2 can run a lot of shit. And frankly, whenever you listen to this cast in the future, assuming anyone will listen to this cast at all, because we are talking about Kador, let's be honest, a pretty garbage faction for garbage people.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
We can all agree.
Take Theme X, add Irusk, you're probably good. As long as that theme can take infantry. Now...
Remember how we mentioned in 2017 they're going to put line of sight blocking terrain in the middle of the table and it's probably mostly going to be a forest? Well, Irusk doesn't give a shit.
Irusk so doesn't give a shit. And you know that great spell, Fire for Effect? Man, that's a great spell. Oh, it's
pretty good.
It's pretty good.
So is that Artificer Deviation.
Yes.
Have fun tilting people by just putting people just towing the edge of it. And still getting cover.
I'm sorry, Hickling. I'm pretty sure Grimkin killed that.
Well, even if they do change that, is the thing, is it's still fine.
Yeah, it's still a good spell.
It keeps Irusk alive, and it still has the troll value of, well, on demand, you can just put that in front of someone. It's not like Inhospitable Ground, which is all or nothing. This can be on-demand trolling.
Oh, mate, I was playing against... Who's it? Someone playing Lilith 3, I think. And is it Typhon that doesn't have Pathfinder?
That's right.
Yep, I just slammed that thing in front of Typhon, and he had a forest on one side of it, and a forest on the other side of it, and he just, yep, he went nowhere that whole game. Typhon just swam around in a pit of deviation.
Big fan, do approve. Anyway, I would recommend playing him in Jaws or in Wintergard. One thing with Jaws is that, A, he, of all the casters, I think, makes the whole Jack Marshalling a destroyer slash behemoth thing work, and work very well.
Yeah, yep. Because he goes like, okay, behemoth, here's the fire for effect, and then the guy gives it one focus, and then you're just like, okay, all good guys.
Yeah, and then does
You don't do it that way. What you do is you give fire for effect to the destroyer.
And they fuel him.
That's on the Forge Seer, and use the Forge Seer to boost Behemoth.
Yes.
Okay. And then, well, yeah. Either way, it's all the same math.
Yeah, because if you get to do the aim on the destroyer, that 16-19 damage.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So good.
And then there's also one of the weaknesses of Jack Marshalling Warjacks is that you've got weakness to knockdown, and you've got a weakness to stationary. Well, you can't really fix stationary to some extent, but you fucking definitely can fix knockdown with, I don't know, Solid Ground. Seems like a good spell.
Yeah.
It's good times.
Especially with the tough bubble. It's just, it tilts people so hard. If you like, you've got like Widowmakers and Artificer Deviation at Defense 18, and they finally hit one and kill it, and then I just
chucks.
Go, oh, tough. And they're like, I'll be chucked down. I'm like, nope, it's on the ground. And then just, ah, the rage is delicious.
One thing I'm going to say, and you probably would, I think you'd probably agree with this, Hickling, is that I find Irostu is actually a gunline caster more than he's a punch caster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he can turn those guns into punching. Like, I played him for a while in Mark 3 with Rifle Corps with Rockets and Nis with Valachev.
Yep.
Because I found the Nis in Artificer Deviation were just the stupidest things in the world.
Yeah, shifting them was just like...
And you force people to come into you. And then by the time they come into you, you can turn those, I mean, with bare strength. Because it's often, the great thing about Rifle Corps with Joe is you either need to hit something high defense that has low armor, or you need to hit something with low defense that has high armor. And depending on what you do with Joe, you either give him the +2 to hit for the high stuff, in which case your power, strength, 8 weapon master is still doing damage.
Yep.
Or if it's only a low defense, like still at mat 5, needing to hit like 10s on 5s is fine, but then being power and strength 12 weapon master, they just carnage things so easily and go back to shooting again. So it's, he makes things really combined arms that shouldn't be combined arms.
Yeah, and by the way, his field guns are disgusting. Like, absolutely disgusting.
Yep.
You know what's really easy to hit with a bare strength winter guard? A knockdown model that got hit in the face by a Rat 7 fully boosted Power 15 gunshot. Thanks for playing. So, speaking of which, the other way you take him is you take him in the Winterguard theme, and you either take with literally as many Winterguard as you can cram into a list and do your best to reenact the Battle of either Kursk or Stalingrad, mostly Stalingrad. Maybe the Battle of Berlin.
Like, literally, like, 7 units of Winterguard infantry.
Well, certainly, if we're going more classy, we could just say it's the Battle of the Somme and or the Battle of Tannenberg. Whatever. Pick your famous...
No, it's Rock's Drift, man. It's Zulu. That's what it is.
Ah, yes, it's Zulu. Except that your Zulus have guns.
Well, they had guns. Some of them.
Yeah, all right. And then, the other one is you take in a more combined arms Jaws of the Wolf approach. One thing I dislike about, say, playing him in, like, the Iron Fang theme, even though it works, is, as I said, Rusk doesn't have a speed fixer. And Irusk also really wants Fire for Effect to be on the table, because it means that he can make models like the Widowmaker Marksman go, okay, is that a thorn on the ridge? Ah, sweet. I'm just going to shoot out its arc node.
Yeah.
Ah, good times. Fuck, I love doing that. Or if you roll enough, because you can, as I said, you retroactively pick where the damage goes. So you're like, ooh, just enough to knock out the shield. Let's do this. And you kill Thorn. And then they're like, what?
Vlad 3.
So we come to the section of the book where they made a mistake and they put 3 casters in a row that actually are related to each other. But don't worry, they made it so it's in the wrong order. So the first on our War Room list is Vlad III, the Great Prince of Umbre. Moving on.
Yeah,
I don't have much to say about him. I'm sure he's fine.
He's another caster who likes to be up in the fray, but I mean, he's not Butcher and he's not Sorsha.
The big thing
he
lost from MK2 to MK3 is Ride by Attack. And ironically, also the change from Infernal Machine to giving Murderous is actually a bit of a debuff to him, because he didn't really need a model to mulch stuff, and. Furthermore, the nerf to Drago, because he was the one who ran Drago the best, because he gave him sprint and he gave him, like, fucking that field marshal was ridiculous.
Man, Drago doesn't explode with Vlad.
Well, that's a fantastic...
Such a good rule. Well, actually, it's a necessary rule, and it's actually fantastic. It just sucks that that's the special rule he gets
for
being with his best buddy.
Wow, good job, guy.
Oh, I fucking hate that rule.
You know what's actually really annoying is that I... I'm going to actually say this. I kind of want to play a gun carriage with this guy, and I probably won't.
Yeah, I can see it. I mean...
His feat's also really boring.
Gun carriage can sidestep, can it? Can it?
Yes, it can. It has to sidestep on the main melee horse kick it does, but, I mean, it can do that.
Fuck does that work?
Let's just not ask anything related to that, because how the fuck the gun carriage now works is a product of... But it's a big question, right?
Yeah, I think you need to be a double degree in engineering of some sort to figure it out now. But, I mean, like, Vlad III is just one of those guys that he is really good in the hands of the right player. I mean,
yeah,
not
that's
many
probably
people play
true.
Him and not many people have success with him, but the people who do have a lot of success.
Yeah,
I can agree to
that. Play style.
He's a cool guy that does cool things, but he doesn't have a particular niche that needs filling. But he's definitely there for players that do think what he does is interesting and cool.
I think the main problem with him is that he has...
And it's not a bad thing to do.
Cavalry models, but he can't take dragons in a theme. And Orlans, don't really work with him as well as you'd sort of like. I've found in personal experience. And as I said, like, Wide by Attack used to be how he got a lot of shenanigans gone, because he used to be like a more survivable Butcher 3, ironically.
He's still survivable. I mean, I've heard stuff like Nigel talk from Muse talking about him, and he seemed to have some pretty, like...
decent success, yeah. Let's be honest. If Mage Hunter theme comes back, which, well, to be honest, it probably is coming back with that new theme force they released for Red... If you ever want to destroy that, just play Vlad 3.
Or Vlad 1. Or Vlad 2.
Nah, Vlad 3 does it better. Because, like, Vlad 3...
That Blood Quenched really makes him...
Yes.
Yeah. But, I mean...
That's his best ability, I think.
Agreed. Blood Quenched. Yeah. Because it's when... he is a bit of a caster who lives dreams, but fuck, his dreams are amazing.
Yeah, no, I can see it. And maybe maybe I need to put him on the table to really understand him.
I think he's another caster awaiting a list, but I'd be curious to see it. And maybe a list already exists for him. Like, he certainly isn't bad in the Iron Fang theme, for one. I'm not sure I'm going to devote time for him when I kind of like, oh, let's the next guy. Ah, my favorite, Vlad 2.
Yeah, the final member of the Holy Trinity.
Vlad 2 is the Kador's caster who is good enough to play out of theme.
Yeah. Yep. Work in theme. I've seen some good... the Iron Fang... I can't remember what it's called at the top of my head. The Iron Fang theme. I've seen some good lists for him in that.
Legion of Skill. That's it.
That's the one. Steel. Yeah.
Skill.
Oh, sorry.
But I mean, just everything he wanted to take got better, and he gets to take more of it.
Yep. And he... Basically. His rules swapped around, and it feels like almost all of them for the better. Like, he's one of those guys who wanted Solas for the free upkeep, because the way the math worked out, he just gets it now. So he's like, okay, that's good. One
free upkeep, cool.
Yeah.
He's got like 4 upkeeps, right?
He has 4. He'll realistically only cast 3, but he'll cast
2 of them himself.
Yeah, he'll cast 3 a lot. Like, the 3 he casts.
Yeah, no, they're regularly up. Assail, fucking amazing. Marauders and Victors and
Conquests
all love it. Arcane Might, situationally amazing and sometimes completely useless, but...
Well, Arcane Might is great for making models that shouldn't be able to do what they do. Like...
No. Like, Vlad
that
with...
Second
Vlad with
Iron... Yeah.
Sorry. Vlad with the Shock Troopers is so dumb.
Yeah, it's...
They're just like, oh, I only walk 2, 4...
9... They walk 9, and they shield wall, and they're armor 24, and then
all their damage rolls, and their caster's dead.
Ugh.
That happened. Or they charge 14 inches.
Yes, that happens a lot.
That's also fucking amazing. Oh, he's so good.
Vlad is 100%. If you have a good model in
Windblast is so good now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Windblast is amazing.
I played a Steamroller on the weekend where I just completely shut down a Hyperion with... Windblast.
Windblast is, pretty much. Windblast is absolutely insane.
Hey, Cloud's gone.
No, it's amazing versus huge base models that want to shoot. Like, he can play into convergence more or less off the back of being able to just say, Tep, be gone, fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, all right, I'll have one Tep get killed by my feet or my conquest or whatever, and the other Tep, basically, I'll just go, nah, get fucked.
Hyperion. Hypnos.
Yeah.
What? Yep. That guy doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it's when you also do, like, okay, if you stand in the spot to shoot my caster, you won't be able to. Like, he had a Kane matchup off the back of just that, even when Kane could still trickshot all of his models to death. You're like, yep, but I can control where Kane goes and then kill him the following turn.
He had game into Hyreclaimer when Hyreclaimer was broken, just because you're like, you know those things that you like to do with guns? No.
Yeah.
Just...
And also, your clouds can fuck off as well, so...
Oh, yeah. It's so good!
Yes. So, Vlad is probably the... Vlad is the most toolbox caster in the faction, which is...
Yep.
To
hit buff, speed buff, damage
buff... He fixes
buff,
all dice.
Cloud getting, like, line of sight fixing... fuck.
He does everything.
Good at jacks, good at infantry.
A gun carriage with...
You just ruined our train of thought with some heresy. What was that?
My favorite caster to run a gun carriage with.
Why do you tell
hands
me
down?
No, it's the best character to run shock troopers with.
Yes.
No, because then I can't fit in a gun carriage, so I refuse to go down this loud, crisp path of heresy of not fronting it up and playing these stupid models. No.
Hickling. Heresy. Shock troopers.
I'm sure it's really strong. I just, you win if I do it.
So that's okay. That's actually fair because, like,
you fuckers.
So we've had a very back and forth, like, oh man, I swear I've gone sundry over this goddamn gun carriage, given all this, like, the moat that was around it in the CID. And, like, oh, this is what winning feels like. It's so empty, though, because it's not that I win, it's that Hickling lost.
And the people need to be aware that the only reason you went on and became active player champion of the world is because of one of the worst games of Watch Machine for anyone who wasn't us who were playing it.
Oh, that was
at Perth
of the
champs in Iron Gauntlet.
Please explain this, because that was one of my favorite games of War Machine, and it was
right,
one
little, you know... Yeah, little side out from our caster run, but basically Chris and I in the last round of qualifying for finals went off and had lunch together, discussed the matchup. We've never actually played a game against each other despite being friends for years. Finally come back, play out this game. It's his classic IRAS 2 list versus my classic Sorcia list. Now, I was carving him up pretty well, wasn't I?
Oh, yeah. I remember I was 2 for 20 tough rolls or something. It was...
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Of course, right. That just means that it's time for IRAS to engage in his hyper-competitive assassination mode, yes?
Hmm.
So, he jams me with a gun carriage, and I use Alexia to kill it, and I feel really good about it, because I've always wanted to fucking kill that gun carriage.
Dream lived.
Dream lived. But first I went for a, quote, legitimate assassination, which was like, Sorcia was on no camp, she had to be on no camp to basically, I think it was either freezing...
I used a Tempest to kill a whole bunch of...
That's
Iron Fangs, yeah.
So he was on nothing, I'm like, alright, all I can do is just roll a 12 on this 4-focus Juggernaut. I don't roll a 12. But okay, that's fair. And I was trying to get like some gunshots in, it didn't happen. Right. Hickling then basically fucking wipes the table with me, but I'm still up with some odds and ends. Then I'm like, alright, time for the illegitimate assassination, which is like a couple of five for effective Widowmakers and Irusk himself.
Don't forget Gorman here.
Oh, I'm Gorman, that's right. I throw the blind bomb to start with, and of course it scatters the perfect direction, which was forward 60
inches. It has to go max distance to the one, and it goes max distance to the one. And then me, and the other side point here is that they served, this was at a bar. Like,
yes.
They served beer here, and I was feeling quite, you know, lubricated, and completely forgot that shaking blind was a thing. So I just, like, allocated focus to Behemoth, got ready to do on my turn, because he caught Behemoth and Sorcia with the blind.
Yep.
And then the next turn, I've just gone to do things, and just, my most vivid memory of that game is turning around to Gigantor at that point. He looked like he was about to have a mild stroke at what he was watching transpire in front of him.
But that said, even with that, you're just like, okay, well, look, I'm just going to wind rush behind this wall and, you know, like, I'm just going to kill everything apart from Irusk. And I think you dropped me to, like, 3 boxes or something. It was
something
Something like that. So I'm like, all right. So the legit assassination failed. The illegit assassination came up short. I think you're on a couple of boxes, but we now need to go for the turbo super illegit assassination, which is, of course... A bunch of things happen, and then I remember it finishing with Irusk charges a Greylord Outrider, stabs him in the face, energizes to within min blast deviation range of P. Sorcia, chucks out the airburst, doesn't even roll the hit, boosts the damage, and kills her.
Yep. One of the stupidest games of War Machine that's ever been played.
Ugh.
And that's the only reason you qualified to go to Iron to become the world champion.
I don't think I'll ever forget that. Holy shit, that was a great fucking game. And kudos, man.
All right. But anyway, back to the matter at hand, because I'm sure Brian's loving hearing us tell this story for about the 700th time. So
I always enjoy cool that guy. Story.
All right, that's good. And you
so were... we're done with Vlad 2, correct?
Look, Vlad 2 is amazing. Play him more. Like, what actually makes it... I don't even know if themes will frankly change whether you play him or not, because one of the things that's really good is taking Shock Troopers and taking Kyazi, or taking Drakens and Kyazi and Riflemen. Oh, yeah.
I feel like, though, if he gets the opportunity to take a Manowar tier, I think he's, like, gonna fucking...
isn't...
Turn it right on.
Yeah, more than likely. But I could also see it not quite working, because he might be like, I kind of want some models to fit around these shock troopers.
Yeah, but that's what they're called Drakens.
Yeah, that's true. All right, yeah. Moving on.
Okay, our last Vlad. Vlad 1.
Vlad 1.
So remember how we talked about
Vlad
Butcher?
My favorite assassination I've ever gotten.
Ah, yes, so, I remember this one. It was when you assassinated the Assassin King himself, who sadly is not here.
And if you're ever going to kill Tom Gwan on the top of two, you want to do it by punching his caster in the face with a conquest.
Yep.
So literally, top of one, I boundless charged the conquest.
Top of one.
He ran Danny up, and then I just feated, boundless charged it, and hard rolled the... Without signs of importance, just hard rolled the things I needed to hit and kill a full camp Denny on the top of two.
Two boosted punches. We'll do it.
It's the stupidest game.
Tom deserves it. It's fine.
It's fair. Tom does deserve
it. He abandoned us tonight, so we get to talk shit about him.
Yep. We aren't vindictive at all.
No.
No.
No, but Vlad 1 feels like he should suffer from the same fate as Harkovich of just, oh, I just cast this spell and things happen. But rolling three dice and dropping the lowest and watching your opponents tilt at the dice math skew is just the funnest thing ever.
Yeah, watching them bounce off armor is not nearly as satisfying.
Yeah, no. I personally find Vlad boring as hell, but I cannot disagree with his power. The power of just, like, burying your opponent in buckets of dice. What I actually find is the biggest problem is that everything he does is, like, nuclear level. Like, he doesn't go, and he has no half measures. Everything he does is, like, extremes. Like, his personal defensive spells are both, like, 3 and 4 cost spells that he cannot afford to do anything else with. And, of course, his, like, main shtick is Stein's Importance, which is the most ridiculous spell in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, all right, what if I only need Signs and Points for one unit? Like, you better be playing Vlad 2, because that's not what we're rolling here. We're rolling Vlad 1.
I think you're missing the point. Yeah, you never want Signs and Points on one unit. You want Signs and Points on all units. I don't understand your point whatsoever. Why would you take it for one unit when you could take it for all units?
I'd like to point out that Brian works at Costco.
I work in bulk sales.
Yeah, that's right.
So I also work in bulk dice rolls.
Yes. supersize me,
like, babe. Like, Vlad 1 is also just like Vlad 2, where he has, like, all the rules. He's just like, I need to be a cool guy. I can be the coolest guy. My guy needs to go faster. My guy gets to go faster. I need a gun. Well, here's a spell that does that. I want my guys to hit better and harder. Cool, you can do that too. My guys are getting shot. Problem solved. Don't worry about it, guys. Just stick near me and we'll all be good. And then he's like, you know what really sucks about being a Cador Jack?
They're so slow.
Fuck it. Let's just, like, turn this dial and suddenly they all are, like, twice as fast and, like, charging for free. And you're just like, yeah, that seems fine. That seems worth value. Seems like a cool guy. I agree, Chris. Good job. I'm glad we came to this conclusion together.
Whereas my experience with him is that he's insanely good at anything he can throw dice at. And then you run into a shrubbery. Or you run into a brick wall.
He has balance charge.
Yeah, he can't see through a shrubbery.
So yeah,
it's
just, almost
it's a very thick shrubbery.
You know who can see through shrubbery, Chris?
He has to be able to move in a straight line.
Yes, that's right.
That's true.
I
said he's like a blunt. He's not blunt like Butcher, but he has a very similar game plan where he's like, if you have stealth or if you can block line of sight to him, he has a much harder game. But I mean, there aren't many people in the game who can say otherwise. Honestly.
Ish. I mean,
he's more straightforward than most, but I mean, he's still less blunt about it than Butcher.
I'd agree. I mean, to be fair, that's like a 1-1A situation there.
Well, like I talked to you, Butcher behaves like an axe, and Vlad behaves more like a sword. It's like you can thrust, or you can cut, or you can, like, parry. And Butcher's like, axe!
To me, Vlad is more like a sword in the sense of, like, a great sword. Like, whoa!
No, I feel like he's much more like the sword he actually wields.
He just throws dice at you.
Yeah, but he also has Windwell. He also has a speed feat. Like, he does other things. While, yes, the thing has to be right in front of him for him to do it, but he has more options.
Yeah, that's true.
He is more versatile. he might not, he's not quite as extreme.
Yeah.
I miss the old hardcore. I used to run Vlad with the Conquest and just top of one feet run Conquest into the middle of that circle on the table and just go, right, this is me.
Yes.
You figure out what you're doing, but this is me. This is my zone for now.
Yes. he still can do that.
Okay, so this technically leaves us with one caster.
Yeah, Old Witch 2, which I'm not actually sure what she does now because she's gone through a bunch of revisions.
And
but...
we don't know what she'll actually do in the end, but we'll talk about what we've seen of her so far. Did you ever get a chance?
I haven't touched her at all. It was Orsino played, so...
Oh, cool. Definitely. We get to do a live reveal.
Yeah, okay. Actually, you got the most recent one, so...
Okay, so speed 6, huge base, strength 12, not relevant, mat 5, rat 6, def 12, armor 19, command 8, focus 7. 26 warjack points is her current one. So she was 29 for most of the CID, and then at the last week they changed her down to 26. It looks like.
Yeah. So big thing is, her big shtick is that she has what's called arcane machinery, which is very similar to what Zakova does. She picks an effect and applies for the entire turn. Now, originally it was just 3 effects,
and her
they were generic, right? And then her feat was basically do all of them at once, so you had a pretty efficient turn.
And now boosted she has attack rolls on, like, magic attacks or something.
Yeah, that's right. Now she has, like, 5, and...
They're all good. Well, now they're all, like, relevant at some point. Like, before they were, like, sometimes relevant.
Before the most relevant one was, like, the cheapest spell one and the range amp one. And now it's like, well, there's the cheapest spell one, the range amp one,
the
reroll. The
control range gets bigger. Anyway, let's just break it down one by one.
Sure.
So she has Arcane Calibrations, which says that her spells cost 1 less to cast this turn. She has Divinator, which gives her battle group, can reroll failed attack rolls. She has Power Magnifier, which means she gets, if she gives a Warjack focus, they get 2. She has Range Amplifier, which is 5 plus range on spells. And she has Vexing Alignment, which gives her control area plus 2. So she's not a 14 control area, she's a 16.
And her feat is do all of those at once.
Which is pretty good.
Righto.
She has dual attack and repairable because she's a battle engine. She has one gun, which is range 12.
It's Kaka is the name of the gun.
And it's so much rules to read.
Basically what happens is, on a direct hit, you send her a cloud on your opponent. It's a 4-inch cloud, and it's a cloud of birds. The birds then blind everyone in the cloud. That's a living or undead model. And then the cloud stays in play and pecks at your opponents if they end their activation and they're an enemy, because the birds know about friendly fire.
Well, yeah, they were trained.
Yeah,
jeez.
They were trained.
It's a pretty cool gun.
Is it like a shootable murder of crows?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's a shootable blinding murder of crows. Like,
well, they got better.
They got worse. They're worse than they originally were, because originally they were just an AoE, so you scattered them and you...
Which means you could use Artillery Captain and...
Or you'd, like, charge someone and then just chuck crows at your feet and then just get immediately fucked. she has 2 power 15 attacks, which is relevant for the above-mentioned throw crows at people, so her mat 5 now suddenly becomes a much more respectable mat 9.
Yeah.
By the way, she cannot blind herself. The crows know not to blind Old Witch.
Yeah.
With the dual attack, if she charges, can she make the range attack before the charge attack?
Yes. Welcome to what Old Witch used
to do. Dual attack.
Yep, welcome to what Old Witch used to do.
She has Boundless Charge, Curse of Shadows, Reconstruct, Scourge, and Windstorm. Do you recognize Windstorm?
Windstorm, no. Why, what,
where? It's a spell formerly known as Stormwall.
Enemy models suffer minus 5 range while in her control area.
Yep. Now, if her control area is...
And she chooses deviation of AoEs.
Yeah, and if her control area is 16, quite a bit better than if it's 14.
Which means, almost nothing can shoot her or stuff near her.
Yes. It has to be, sniped X, Y, or Z. And you're okay, sure. I guess we can deal with that.
She's...
So, yeah. She's going through a lot of things.
20 boxes, too.
The biggest thing with Old Witch, and to be fair, we're talking semi out of our asses because we're talking about a caster who's been through so much CID shit.
And is it technically the complete form?
Yeah. the biggest thing with her is positioning her, because she is super high. She does a lot of random cool stuff, but a lot of it, she's not very mobile.
No, yeah. She's only speed 6 and no reposition of any sort.
Isn't she speed 6? I thought she was 5.
No, she's 6.
Oh, okay.
Oh my god, they speed changed 5.
It. No, she used to be 5.
No, she's speed 6. I'm looking at it.
Yeah. She used to be 5. It's on my little old rules here.
Oh god, that's gross.
Yeah. So you can imagine, like, she was just a lumpy... she was riding a giant scrapjack, and it was super fat. So she had that old battle engine caster problem, right?
Yeah.
Now, though, well, effectively, you had to get him to the right spot to protect her army with Windstorm and whatever the fuck, really. But because of the way her she works, she can run a lot of different stuff. The first thing is, she has one cost boundless charge, which is fantastic. She also just has Curse of Shadows in her faction with Riflemen.
Mm.
It's nice. What we found is that the Grimkin version is probably better, because you've got access to Animi, and you've got access to the Douchnell, so you're armor 21, and you've got access to Transfers, and blah, blah, blah. But Grimkin don't have Riflemen. Grimkin also don't have Gunjacks.
Or Juggernauts.
Or Juggernauts. Or Sackhorn on their Battle Engine caster, if you do shoot it. Ah, good old Kator.
Imagine if you could Sackhorn from a Battle Engine to a Battle Engine. That would be awesome.
Oh my god.
Yeah, no, she seems to have a lot of options. I mean, if you're going into a gun list, you're pretty much going like Windstorm all day.
Windstorm charge, let's do this.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she can also be like, okay, I want to run Jax right now, so...
Yeah.
They either get extra focus for cheaper, or they get boundless charged, which are both fantastic options.
Yeah. I found that she has problems with, ironically, like, her mortal nemesis is actually Strakov.
Yeah. Well, that's because he can send a Jax halfway across the table to kill her.
Yeah. Gunshots are pretty ineffective against her, and magic is also fairly ineffective against her. Because most pulls don't work. I mean, you only realistically can place, and you've still got problems with follow-up. But her just getting randomly shanked in the face, because she's so fat, you can get so many models onto her. Well, that is a problem.
Yeah.
So they need to adjust her feet, because it still reads, the old witch gains the benefit of all three of her arcane machinery effects this activation.
Whoops.
When she has 5.
Yes.
But it says
she's coming out, what,
three.
July, August, something
yeah,
like that?
July.
Well, no, she'll be released in July with the faction, but I think her
model, which
will
make,
but her model will be, like,
September.
Available for purchase probably in September.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
So plenty of time for them to fix up and make little minor changes between now and then.
We'll know her rules by July,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
She was a lot of fun. And let me be honest, right? When you just can say caca at people... And they just get, like, the twitch. Ah, it's so good. Especially because how many people don't like... if there is one thing that this Battle Engine CID has done, it's make people want to take more Battle Engines, and you have no idea how fucking glorious it is to just blind them all the time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that felt bad.
Does her gun have to be a... Does it have to hit an enemy model?
Yes. They changed that. That might have been my fault, because I was using that to blind my own mechanics to also blind... bigger, better models like Storm Lancers.
Oh, you asshole.
I just played a game against Cephalix recently, and that empathic, whatever the hell it's called, that Siphon has.
Yeah.
It's tilting me, so I was hoping that maybe they'd made a... let us do something broken like that, but apparently not.
They fixed that, sadly. Anyway, that's a run-through of the Kator casters. If there's nothing else you've grabbed from this, it's like, shit works, so just take it. Apart from the gun character, it doesn't work.
Okay, that model's weird now. Like, the worst part is, it's just, like, it and the war wagon are just, like, the exact same fucking model with a different gun. It's, like...
It's lazy.
It's so dumb.
The thing I took from all the discussions on Twitter and stuff about it was, I must have been the only person who was actually using it to trample over...
Yes.
Infantry. Like, everyone's like, you never trample over infantry. I'm like, I do it every game. Like,
with, like, the war wagon that felt right, I mean, you're using, like, buffaloes, and they're, like, ragtag, like, troll guys, and that kind of makes sense. And with the gun carriage, you kind of, like, I expect a more, like, you know, combat, like, tactical gunnery. Mm. Like, sure, that's kind of what you were using it for, but then when, like, PP's like, no, the gun carriage is used for, like, ramming shit, I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I don't know. For what it's supposed to do now, it's kind of great until its impact attack fails and its charge goes nowhere and it's stuck in the middle of nowhere and a bunch of weapon masters kill it, and yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. I was super disappointed.
Yeah.
I mean, I was annoyed that they classified it as a, when they're doing that, you know, it was tank, utility, or offense, whatever the hell it was that they had of those sort of three broader categories. And it's like, yeah, you can call it a tank, and it looks like a tank, and it does tanky things, but Jesus Christ, we've got so many tanky things in this faction.
Yeah.
Another big, lumpy, tanky thing.
That is probably the biggest issue with this. Like, well, why... as I said, with Butcher 3, it's like, I could take that, or I could take it with a Devastator instead, which does... I mean, you could...
I would have preferred it just to have more, like, interesting ammo types. Like, make it the gun carriage. Make it the mobile tank you claim it's supposed to be, where it's, like, using utility gunshots to do cool things. I mean, we have enough flare in.
You can just keep its impact attacks as it was. Because the thing is, though, that's actually annoying me... You know what
would be a lot more balanced as siege momentum. Weapon?
It lost momentum on its non-impact attack attacks.
Yeah,
sorry,
that's fine.
Sorry. It impacts and it doesn't have momentum, which is annoying because that was like the coolest rule was when you impacted and then shit just got bowled everywhere.
Yeah, but
because they wanted to make it have multiple impact attacks and then it led to all manner of weird awkwardness and...
But I mean, like, they have their vision, but no one else kind of shared it. It was weird.
Mm.
Well, I'm sure it'll turn out fine and we'll find a use for it and it'll be good. It just felt like... You know, when we've got this CID process, I thought it was going to be for things that don't really see play and, you know, something like, you know, your Man of War Bombardiers or your Old Witch or something like that.
Battle Engine
wasn't especially broken. Like, people were taking Battle Engines. People were having good times with them.
Well, people really weren't taking Battle Engines.
They were taking the good ones.
But those were so far and few between. And, like, yes, Hickling, you did take the War Wagon. Oh, sorry, the Fun Carriage. But, like, no one else really was.
That's actually a lie.
There was when it was broken. And then as soon as they fixed the broken rule, they were like, oh, okay, I don't need this in my list anymore.
What, its ability to make infinite damage?
No, I'm talking about when it was broken in the way where you could sack onto it.
Yeah.
Some people had uses for it, some people liked it, but most people weren't using battle engines because they were expensive, they didn't do a lot, and they were easy to kill.
I will put it this way.
They needed fixing.
Compared to the Strong Strider, it's like night and day to me with regards to the gun carriage. Fuck, even comparing it to a similar thing that actually looks like a proper tank, which is the fucking Siege Crawler. Siege Crawler is awesome, and is a tank. And feels right in both categories.
They removed
like roadblock because actually geometric doesn't work. By the way, that was actually a thing from Rob. But the
thing that's always been the have and have nots in gun carriages is the ability to boost in Battle Engines. Is the ability to be able to boost.
Yes,
I mean that's what made the Tep strong. What made like once the Storm.
It's what makes the Strong Strider strong.
Yeah. Having and like the Menoth one used to see a bot in Mark II because it was couldn't it boost or do something like that back in Mark II or am I thinking wrong?
Yeah, no, it did, and it was also in an era when there was less focus flying around, and it had the exploding thing on its gun. Was it?
It was always those ones like, that ability to boost. Yep. So I don't know why they just balance that out and give every gun carriage the ability to. Why do I keep calling them gun carriage? Every battle engine the ability to do some sort of boosty thing.
Well, they do. Okay, if you actually look at it, they do in some way. Like, the gun carriage really didn't, but, like, even... And they have it now, but because they do it in ways like line breaker and stuff. Mm. Like, it's not good, but technically there are ways for them to functionally get more dice.
Yeah.
But, again, it's not good, and it's still, like, awkward, and they knock stuff down, which means they don't technically need to do, like, get extra dice, because they get extra dice by, like, they automatically hit, and it's...
Yeah, my two issues with, like, gun carriage, realistically, are if your opponent is immune to knockdown, it does almost nothing.
Yeah, it's...
It's a great distraction piece, and it does the thing where it forms a nice...
And it tanks now. Like, it has enough armor and boxes to do that, but I mean, do I need that?
Actually, I found something about that. So, because it's so a huge base, it can tank anything 1v1, and they were very proud about that fact. Like, it can tank, say, a Primal Stalker, for instance. Hmm. But, because it's a huge base, you can just use any number of follow-up gunshots into it, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, it just felt like...
Yeah.
They missed the point. And with the War Wagon, it kind of makes sense. It's supposed to be charging into the middle and, like, using its super inaccurate gun. And, like, that for that may make sense. And then they, like, copy-pasted its rules and gave it different guns. And I'm like, why is this, like, I don't know. Like, what it's trying to do, it kind of fills whatever niche they've created for it, but it just doesn't feel like, I guess, what everybody else envisioned for it.
Yeah, I'll put it this way. It's a model I will probably take to fill in 3 points and to get 60 points of Winter Guard command without actually having 60 points worth of Winter Guard models I have to buy.
They made it cheaper. Yeah.
That is not a great reason to take a model. Like, that is, in fact, a garbage reason to take a model.
I love how they made its guns worse.
Yeah, it's just like, ugh.
Range 14 guns? No, that's too strong. It's shooting things. Almost like it's named after that very fact.
Yes.
And they're like, range 8. And everyone's like, are you fucking kidding? They're like, fine, range 10. And we're all like, whatever.
Whatever. This is about the best we're going to get. Anyway, enough depression. Because Kator is a very fun faction, filled with fun shit. Like,
yep.
Sorsha 1. Vlad 2. Butcher 3.
Strakov.
Strakov.
Iras 2.
Iras 2.
Karchev.
Man, I really should get back to playing Rust. You know what? Fuck it. After OTC, I just want to get and play more shit, because there's just so much to explore. And taking different swing, it doesn't even matter even in theme or un-theme, blah, blah, blah. Yes, okay, themes are killing the game, blah. But there's enough exploration within those themes as well, even. I haven't tapped out of this damn faction yet, and I don't see that happening in the foreseeable future, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Well, I think that covers it. Is there anything you want to discuss before we go?
I don't know. We've been here for 2 hours, and I was only a late ring-in to begin with, so
yeah,
I haven't even had dinner yet, you guys.
Oh, wow. Shit. All right. We had dinner, and we're just like, oh, damn.
I guess we'll let you go.
I got a message. What are you doing right now? I'm like, oh, nothing. You guys going to do a podcast? I'm like, okay.
Yes. Well, thank you for coming on.
Yeah. I couldn't have done a Kator cast without you, because we did promise it a while back, and I'm glad we could make this happen.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was great fun.
And then it was good until you mentioned so much gun carriage talk.
What did you expect?
I feel you brought this on yourself.
I really did, yes.
And we all knew it.
I have a bit of a sundry for it, it seems. Damn it! God damn. It's like I like the gun carriage or anything.
Yeah, I don't like the gun carriage. Even though it's got, like, 40 boxes. Yeah.
All right. Well, look, in that case, Matt, thanks for coming on. I'll see you on Friday for beers and probably Saturday and maybe Sunday.
Definitely.
Well, I imagine you will do all those things as the OTC and whatnot.
At the OTC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm looking forward to that. Speaking of which, this cast will probably come out a day before the OTC. If you guys were expecting to hear me talk about my teammate stuff, well, no.
None of them are here because they suck.
Actually, speaking of OTC, why aren't you playing Brian?
Because I work weekends.
Yeah. So
I tried to get him on, to be perfectly honest.
But I mean, going to the WTC and going to, like, WinterCon and trying to get to CanCon means, like, my annual leave is...
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
I really did want to, but it's just, like, I needed to prioritize some stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Are we at least see you in the drinking bracket in the evenings?
I will try and make it now that I'm aware that it exists.
I mean, of course it exists.
Yeah, so, well, I don't drink. I just come and share the camaraderie and the trolling.
Matt, Brian is broken right now. We'll fix him. We'll fix him one day.
Good luck.
We'll fix him.
And with that in mind, we'll talk. Thanks for listening to us talk about a broken faction that's ruining every meta around the world. And I'll see you guys around.
Thanks for listening.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.